The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
My name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is
Andy Hart.
My name is
Paul Perillo.
The show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show. None can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart. Sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said, one brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the sultan of soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace.
Hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is
Andy Hart.
My name is
Paul Perillo.
My name is the show is
PFW in Progress and Eric Scalavino.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's a special day in the city of Boston. The Patriots victory parade, championship parade, rolling rally, whatever you want to call it. It's happening right now, and you can watch it on Patriots.com and listen to us at the same time over your phone or do it the other way around. I don't care. But lots of stuff going on today. The parade actually really didn't get going until around 11:30. They were kind of queued up in a garage, but it is in full swing right now. If you're local, turn on Channel 4, WBZ. And that's probably the best coverage because they have multiple cameras, the helicopter, all that stuff. So that's the best way to do it. But if you're out of the region, Patriots.com has a simulcast of Channel 4 going on in the homepage. So you can certainly
keep up with
the parade while you're listening to the show. What are you talking about?
Somebody's kid on somebody's shoulders with no shirt on.
That's fine.
No, it isn't.
Why?
It's freezing out there.
It's freaking freezing out. Ah, come on. You use Vaseline. You keep
it warm. Is my mic on?
Yeah. But we're back here Wednesday. This is our last Wednesday show for a while. We're going into off-season mode next week. But we have so much to talk about. The game, of course. We're still talking about the parade. We can give you some updates as we see them. If there's anything interesting going on, we'll definitely shout it out. The boats are broken up. Ownership is on boat one. I believe Bill Belichick is on boat two along with Ernie Adams, Matt Patricia. I'm not sure if McDaniels is on that boat. I'm not sure. Then boat three is Tom Brady. And then rest of the team is broken up into boats after that. So
you're right, Fred. There's a million people I've never seen before in my life on these boats.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
I work with them, and I can't name people.
I mean, it was really nice. The organization here, anybody that was an employee here was given the invitation to be in the parade today. So there's a lot of duck boats and other trucks. As I look at it now, it's not just all duck boats. So there were buses and buses of people that were sent to Boston today to be in the parade. We, of course, are here because we have to do this
show
most
for
you.
Most of us are here.
Yeah.
Kevin, did you order? Oh, wait, Kevin, you're
Kevin,
not in
did
there.
You order lunch? Yeah.
Zach Lane filling in for Kevin as he did all last week.
Good man.
As I think he should all move forward.
I think, we obviously could have gone, but we'd actually prefer to be here doing this show for you.
Of course.
You know? This is where the fans are right now.
The PFW family.
Yep. This is where we'd rather be. No other place than right here, right now.
I was actually thinking about that driving in. We all have our ups and downs during the season. And I mean, in terms of analyzing the Patriots and who sucks. And, you know, I think back to Paul and I post-game Kansas City with Mark doing all the games moving forward. Oh, that's losable. Oh, that's losable. Yep, that's losable. And we had whatever it was, 8 of 12 were losable, 9 of 12. And we get fans calling
whatever
in,
was, you guys had more
ripping
losable
Belichick. But even when we hate each other, like, it has that family thing. Like, we rip the collar, but we're ripping him in a brotherly type way. Right.
Sure.
And like Eric, you know, everybody hates Eric, but they don't really hate Eric. And everybody hates, you know, whatever caller calls in and is the long-winded, boring caller of the week or the du jour.
Right. It's like the uncle that you put up with at Thanksgiving.
You make fun of him and you mock him, but he's part of the family. And, you know, it wouldn't be the same without him.
Right. If someone outside the family went at him, we feel like defend him.
Right. Absolutely.
Like when Eric wanted to fight Sal Pal. I got Eric's back.
Right.
And then when he's done with Sal Pal, I'll punch Eric, too.
That's right.
Good job. Bam.
Just in case Sal Pal doesn't do a good enough job.
But we are.
But that's a perfect example.
And it's all sort of feels like it's encapsulated now, like the season. Like, okay, we all made it. We made it to the end goal together.
That's right. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398 is the A's ticket hotline. Yeah, you guys matching sweatshirts.
Tell you, they don't make XLs like they used to, though. It's a little snug in the
back. They don't make mediums like they used to. This thing looks like a dress on.
You don't work out like
you
used to.
See, but we both can't argue that, Eric. If I argue that an XL is smaller, it's unlikely that a medium is larger.
But it is.
I went to the pro shop today and bought four of those championship caps.
What else they got down there? They got shirts?
They got the long sleeve tee. They have the short sleeve tee.
Children's sizes?
Well, they have the long sleeve tee now.
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't have those yesterday.
And they have the caps, from what I saw. I think they might have a sweatshirt like that, but Super Bowl champion. Okay. A blue long sleeve
hoodie,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I might be interested in that.
Yeah. We get our discount.
I know.
Yeah. They have everything in one place, you know, the Super Bowl stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only like five items.
Yesterday was a mad scramble.
Yeah.
People all over the place. Yeah. Trying
well, that's one of those things. Everybody wants it first. They want to have where to work.
Right.
My kids went in yesterday because when Beth came to pick up Will, they went over, got a couple of things. I already have to take something back.
It's a guy on the microphone of one of the floats.
Jonathan Casillas.
Oh, never seen him. His dad, or grandfather, Ken Casillas. Fred?
King?
He had a Casillas jersey and a crown.
You didn't see him with the crown on?
Yeah,
it was
awesome. That the guy?
Yes, that was awesome.
Well, we had this beautiful shot of Revis on the podium with the trophy, and he's like, you know, it was a great champ. And then this, not in the background, ruined the whole shot.
That's great.
I mean, he was everywhere.
And I bet you he doesn't think he ruined
it. The funniest thing, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a video of Kraft after the game in the back halls, and I think he's got the trophy, and I think he's shaking hands with Revis, and then this guy's in the background again, and then you see Kraft kind of look like, who's he? <is?" laughs> He looked like that margarine guy that used to, I don't know, it was a long time ago, there was a commercial for some type of margarine. It was this guy with a crown like that. And then the other thing I was thinking of, the Wiz on Seinfeld. I'm the Wiz.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the Wiz.
What about those Burger King commercials where they had the king
that's
with
another
the giant
one.
Head?
Right, right. But he was everywhere.
Andy,
did you do Burger King commercials?
Ha.
Yeah.
I also like Devin McCourty claiming that you've made it when you see as many McCourty jerseys as Brady's in the crowd. You don't see as many. In a small sample, maybe there was like five people and three.
You know what?
No
see
way.
What you want to see.
Love, you. Mean it. But come on now.
Maybe he's seeing triple.
Right.
You know?
Well, since the Super Bowl, there's been
a lot of cool stuff
that came out, you know, new reports and, you know, sources and things like that. But one of the cool things I thought was some NFL films. They put together, it's like a 3 or 4 minute video of the last sequence of plays and clipped together sideline with what happened on the field with announcers. And it was really cool to see how once the Patriots sideline realized that you know, they had a pass package out there. Basically, they called it 11, one tight end, one back. That very quickly, you can see assistants on the Patriots sideline bringing out Akeem Ayers and getting in Malcolm Butler, saying, Malcolm, get out there. And you see him flash by the camera running out there when they realized the package that Seattle, you know, it was just a cool sequence about that last play.
Did they actually show Pete have an aneurysm on the sideline? Or did they skip
Had Pete. It was so funny. After the play, they show Pete walking with the headphone dragging, you know, the headset dragging.
He throws the headsets off, and then he starts walking, and the headsets are just dragging behind him.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that state trooper that the colleges have.
The more I think about it, though, I don't think that the mistake by the Seahawks was that play call. It was before taking too much time to get to that point. I think once
you can make an argument that was a mistake too, but
yeah. But I think once you got
they did
there,
it all.
I understand Pete's thinking, or whoever it was, you know, Pete's taking the blame, or the offensive coordinator. I can understand the thinking that, Let's maximize the plays. Let's not take a chance that we're run out of time. So let's make that first one a pass so that if it's incomplete, the clock stops. You know, the amount of the odds that that pass was going to be intercepted were so small that it's not that bad a call, actually.
Yeah, I think it's a horrific call. I think with 3 days now to think about it, I think it's even worse now than I thought it was then. And the reason is, for all the stuff that you said, the part that I agree with about the time was all self-inflicted.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You didn't have to throw the ball.
Right.
First of all, with 26 seconds, that's enough time for three plays when you have a timeout. You didn't have to do what you did. I said this yesterday. The only explanation I will accept is if Pete Carroll tells me that he felt the best way he had to score was to throw the ball.
Right.
That's the only explanation that's acceptable. I disagree with that explanation, but the time stuff, we knew we were going to have to throw it once out of those three plays. That's your fault. You didn't have to. That's what you felt.
Right.
You're wrong. You can run three plays in 26 seconds.
And you know, Pete was saying at first, he said, well, you know, we saw the package that the defense had, you know, so, you know, we figured we could pass. But then the Patriots countered that.
Right.
You can always call a timeout. You know, if you're the Seahawks.
That really would have been bad.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
But that really would have been bad.
And also check to a run play. Don't tell me you don't have a base run play you could have run.
Right, right.
Particularly when you have Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't be looking at this the same way if it were the Patriots had done the same thing.
Absolutely.
Because the Patriots are not a team you expect to pound it in.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So you'd be looking at it differently. You'd say, yes, my best option is Brady and his quick receivers getting open. They do that so often, that's how they play the game.
Right.
That part of it's getting undersold.
It's knowing your team.
Andy Marshawn hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
I actually would be lamenting the Patriots lining up with a jumbo package trying to run it in because what I would tell you.
Well, I wouldn't if they gave it Devlin.
Another wasted running play is what I would say. And
but
you just took one play away.
And I also, if he felt he had to pass, why didn't he pass on first down? Because the low red zone is where everybody says it's hard to throw, and they had an extra 5 yards to work with or whatever on first down. You can come up with an argument to validate the decision. I don't think it holds water.
I'll also give you this. If you're going to throw the ball, I don't think, and I agree with you, I'm not letting the fact that the pass got picked off cloud my thought process in terms of the decision. Because you don't call pass plays assuming they're going to get intercepted.
Right.
I get that, okay? If you're going to throw the ball there, to Andy's point, you have Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson. Utilize them. Get me in a spread formation like you did, and instead of having Marshawn Lynch just completely release out into the left, put the ball in his stomach and make everybody in here react
then,
to that.
And then do a Tim Tebow. Float
and
then, it over
and
the
don't
top.
Tell me you
throw
wouldn't
a touchdown
have been sucked in.
Right.
There's no defender on that field that would have said, no,
throw
no
a touchdown
this is
going to
be play action. I'm
and,
not going to buy
and also,
it.
You if you want to do that, Luke Wilson should be wide open in the back corner of the end zone on a waggle after you do the fake handoff to Lynch, zone read. Maybe even it pops open and Russell Wilson just decides, I don't even have to throw it. I'm going to get to the edge.
Right.
And by the way, your whole 26 seconds thing in a timeout, if you run that play and Russell Wilson's rolling out to the side, if it's not there, he can either throw it away or run out of bounds to stop the clock.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't have to throw the ball. They chose to. And all of this is just nothing but crap after the fact.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do what they did. I'm not saying that they should have known, the interception there. Everything about the mindset, to me, was completely flawed. And all people, they're just trying to twist themselves in knots, trying to say that this wasn't as bad a call as people are making it out to be. It was.
And even Bill's own defense on WEEI yesterday is sort of defending Pete and the overall year. He's a good coach. That's a good team. Well, no, we're not saying he's a crappy coach or they're a crappy team. That direct situation is what you need to defend. And everybody makes mistakes. I have no problem saying Pete's a good coach
and Wilson's a good quarterback.
Trey Wingo disagrees
with
you.
We talk about sometimes the Patriots overthink things.
They overthought it.
They definitely overthought that.
Now, if it worked, I would sit here. I would tell you the same thing. I said, they jammed in a slant to Lockett and Butler was 4 yards behind him and they picked him off. Beautiful execution. Why not just run the ball in? That's what I would be saying.
Yeah.
I would say that's colossally stupid.
I'd be too depressed to think that far. I would not be saying that.
No, I
would be just
I know,
like,
Fred. I know.
We,
Fred be at that. What's that new song? At the.
I'd be running that. Yeah. I'd be running that curse catch over and over in my head and not believing it, thinking, you know, I can't.
No,
believe this
I get
again.
How it would have changed everything for us, but I'm just talking about not letting the result, not letting the scoreboard dictate what I thought was the right or wrong thing to do. The fact that it got intercepted isn't the reason why I think it was the wrong thing to do. It just didn't seem. It didn't make any sense to me at all. To not play to your strengths. You're throwing the ball to your third best. On a team with bad receivers, you're throwing the ball to the third best receiver with the Super Bowl on the line. I mean, when you have Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah. And they were so, you know, good to get down there. Forget about the curse catch. That first call of that series where
I'm glad you
sent Lynch down the sideline. Yep. Ballsy call.
I'm glad you brought
and
that up.
Great they went, execution.
They went 80 yards. They went 79 yards, right?
Yeah.
And all anybody wants to talk about is the 30 that happened on a fluke.
Right.
Right.
I mean, they made some plays to get down there without just, I mean.
Absolutely.
That play to Lynch was just beautiful.
Beautiful.
And not exactly, you know, you set those up and, you know, around here we'd say, oh, Vereen on so-and-so, it's a mismatch. Marshawn Lynch is not exactly a mismatch on Jamie Collins.
No.
It looked like it the way it played out. He beat Collins and for a very big play.
Well, I think that Collins got fooled. I don't think he expected that.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's not like LaDainian Tomlinson out there or Marshall
game,
Faulk.
By the way, for him.
Yeah, he didn't rise to the occasion.
The play at the end of the half.
Oh, great. Now I'm looking at a media boat with Lee Schechter and Jeff Howe and
Young
Mark
Lee?
Daniels.
Young Lee?
Fred, you think they're getting cheers?
Right. This is what I'm talking about. It's like, you know.
If you want the media on the boats, allow them to be embedded on player boats
right,
to cover
right,
it.
Because right.
now they're covering themselves.
Yeah, the media definitely shouldn't
and
be.
What are all these trophies? There's trophies. McDaniels has one, but Robert has one. Is that a
well,
different
four, they have the four trophies.
They have the four.
Is this
the
one you're going to get?
Is it the four or is it the eight?
So,
or is it the
is this one you're going to get mad?
We're getting
who knows what trophy
no,
that
we're
is.
Getting
you
emails
mad,
about whether or not these are four of the same trophy. No, they're not. They're the four Super Bowl trophies from the four different Super Bowls.
So they're real trophies. They're not the alternates.
They're the real ones.
Okay. You're sure?
Here we go.
No. What if I go to the hall right now? What's out there?
Nothing. They're empty cases.
They are?
Yeah.
So they're the fake trophies.
I don't know.
Because the real ones are in Robert's hall.
Knowing Brian Morey, he's probably at the parade and the hall's closed. I'm kidding. The hall's open for business. I don't want to get that.
I think we should like dress up Brian Morey like that NHL guy with the white gloves.
Yeah. And make him have that hair.
He has to travel around with the trophies and polish them every 2 minutes. A lot of people are emailing about the trophies. This they are the four representing the four Super Bowls that the Patriots have won. Juve is writing in that he's watching the parade and listening to us. Doesn't get any better than this. Oh yeah. So that's cool. Glad people are maximizing the technology.
Nice.
It's good stuff. So why don't we just head right into Ace Ticket phone line here.
Sure.
We'll start with Steve and Callie. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Got to keep up the excitement here now.
What a season. What a game, fellas. What a game.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. First off, I want to actually apologize for not calling in for a while. I listen to you guys all the time. I love your show. I love everything you do. You keep me sane through the ups and downs of the season. And I actually purposely am going into work late today just so I could call in. So I'm sitting here on the couch watching the parade through NFL Network, talking to you guys. It's a pretty sweet deal.
Should be watching it on Patriots.
I've got a few things I want to say. First off, I loved the show yesterday, hearing all the other fans kind of talking about, you know, bringing out the little superstitions here and there. You know, the guy talking about his popcorn, because I think, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think all of Pat's Nation probably felt like, okay, we cannot let this one go. Like, you got to win this one. Like, you have to win this one. And I actually have my wife and I go to a game about once a year. So we actually flew out to Gillette this year for the Denver game. And I actually had holes in my shoes. So I got soaking wet socks and my feet ended up freezing. So anyway, I ended up buying these, like, you know, those like tri-colored, really bright colored wool socks at one of the merchandise stands for $10.
Yep.
I bought a pair of those. I actually changed, put them on my feet, like when I was in the stands, and they kept my feet warm, probably kept me from getting frostbite. Those socks are lucky. I wore those socks every single game this year that we won, except for the Green Bay game. I didn't wear them for the Green Bay game, and we lost. And so I was like, you know what? Those socks, I'm wearing them throughout the whole playoffs. I'm wearing them in the Super Bowl. And you know what? I love it. I love, you know, all the superstitions, all the fans bringing out everything. was great. And let me tell you, out here in 49er country, there was a lot of pass love. A lot of pass love.
Oh, I can imagine. They hate Seattle.
They hate Seattle. Not only do they hate Seattle, Brady's from there, Edelman's from there.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes sense.
And, I jerked you to work actually on Friday, and I got a lot of love. It was pretty sweet. I had a lot of Niner fans coming up to me, telling me, like, you got to crush the Seahawks.
Well, listen, if Seattle were playing the Jets, I'd be a Seahawks fan.
I was just going to say that to you, Fred. I mean, yeah, if that was the Jets playing, how would you feel?
I'd be wearing a number three. Yeah.
One thing I will never forget was the in-the-moment celebration. I was watching it with a bunch of Niner fans, my wife and I hosted, and after the Jermaine Kearse catch, you know, the room just went silent, and the tension in the room, you could cut it with a knife. And when the interception happened, my house just erupted. Yeah. I mean, you could have, it sounded like there were 30 people
see,
in my house.
See, that's what I miss, because we're in the press box, and it's very muted, if anything. It's more just kind of responding to the play rather than excited about the play. I would just love to have been in a room with Patriots fans like you were, Steve, and just been able to just let loose when that happened.
Yeah.
Oh, it was unbelievable. And usually, you know, I get pretty jacked up and rattled through the game. But, you know, I was pretty quiet and reserved, and I was so tense from seeing the Kearse catch. I looked at my wife, and we looked at each other, and we were like, no, like, this is not happening. Like, this is David Tyree, like, 2.0. Like,
I know.
It happened.
I wrote, and this can't happen. This not again, I wrote. Not again.
Exactly, not again. Yeah. And when the interception happened, I probably jumped 10 feet in the air. I was screaming, jumping up and down, celebrating. My best friend actually picked me up and carried me outside, and we ran down the street. I was screaming. I probably just alienated myself from, like, all of my neighbors, but I don't really care. That's okay.
Who cares? Yeah.
It was an awesome moment, and I'm so proud to be part of Pats Nation. And so I've been a Patriots fan since I was about 11 years old. I'm 25 now. I've only cried twice because of any Patriots game. Once after the 07 Super Bowl, and I tell you, out of pure joy, I'm not afraid to admit it. I cried on Sunday just out of pure.
Absolutely.
It was awesome. It was absolutely amazing. And I love you guys. I love Tom Brady. I love Bill Belichick. There's no other coach or quarterback I'd rather have. And the haters can't take this away from us, baby. Go Pat.
That's right. All right, Steve. Thanks for the call. Good call. It's nice to hear, you know, what people were doing at the moment.
How about Brian Stork getting to be on the float with Brady?
Yeah. Stork was on there?
That was him.
He was clean shaved.
He had shaved. Yeah.
They just showed on TV Brady and his kid. I think it's his oldest son.
No.
She looks like Bridget.
He
looks like Bridget.
I think that was a middle one.
Oh, was it the middle one? Anyway, the kids get the trophy. He almost dropped it.
And he kissed it.
And he kissed it. Did you see him kiss it? That's a great shot.
It's like he looked in his reflection and then kissed it.
That was a great shot.
I don't know if someone told him to, but that's a keeper of a shot.
That part, like when and Tom has talked about that a lot, that's got to be one of the best parts of this for him. Because when he won the three,
He didn't have
the kids either weren't born or if they. That's I'm not even sure if they were born at all. Any of them? I don't think so.
Listen, if I was him, part of my thinking about keep playing was so that my kids can understand what I did or who I am.
I think that's incredibly cool
because it's better to have them experience than 10 years from now. This is what Daddy used to do, and here's some
like Bosworth's kid in that documentary where he has to tell them they're going through the old albums and stuff. Right. Oh yeah, you were great, Dad. Whatever.
Right. Right. So you want to let them experience. So that would be part of my motivation for keep playing.
You know, I won three Super Bowls. Well, all I ever see you do is lose in the Super Bowl, Pat. So I don't buy it. You know, I mean, I think that's got
to
be incredible.
All I ever see is you on the phone and mommy telling you to do stuff.
Right. You cleaning the toilets at 6 a.m.
That's all I know you from.
I wonder if there's any way that there could be any, like, science. You know, they have the Richter scale. Because there had to have been some, like, movement. Simultaneously.
Right. In New England?
Anywhere.
You don't like it?
Anywhere.
When you're trying to make a real
because point? That was a legitimate moment. Like, there's not too many of those where the Super Bowl is on the line and both fans erupt immediately on that second.
There might be because wasn't it, was it the Lynch touchdown against the Saints? They registered it registered on the Richter scale when all the fans in the stadium were jumping up and down.
This is the Super Bowl. Right? So you have Patriots fans celebrating. You have Seahawks fans jumping in disbelief. And then all fans reacting in some way because it's like that moment of you don't get those that often in sports. Even great sports games to have it come down to a single play.
How many times do you think holy bleep was said in the 10 seconds following that Butler interception?
Well, I tweeted out, I can't believe what I just saw. And, like,
I can't.
I still can't. It's a legit. You know, do you believe in miracles? Those types of things.
I watched it last night. This is an actual miracle.
That one was a game that was a miracle. This was an event.
This was a moment.
A singular moment.
That's a miracle. I don't think it's overstating it to say it's the single greatest moment in Super Bowl history.
Right.
I think it was the greatest individual play when you consider not only the skill it took for Malcolm Butler to make the play, but the circumstances in which he made it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can make a strong argument that out of the 49 Super Bowls, there's never been a bigger play than that.
And Malcolm freaking
Butler is the answer to that question.
Well, I mean, Vinatieri's winning kick in 01.
If he missed it, they go to overtime.
Right. That's true.
And it takes longer. I know it's not fair, but it's like the snap, the kick is up.
But I'm also sorry. 49-yard field goals or 47-yard field goals happen all the time.
But under those
pressure, Scott Norwood.
It was a big kick.
Yeah.
To me, it doesn't even come close to what Malcolm Butler did on Sunday.
If you want to talk about the most important play in Patriots history, not Super Bowl, it's still got to be that snow kick. Well, the snow kick by Vinatieri.
Yeah, the tuck rule.
It was huge. But that wasn't really a play. It was a penalty. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I know, but that moment changed everything. Well,
In terms of play, that Vinatieri snow kick was...
I got to go Mo Lewis.
Well, that's another one. That's a big play, but, you know...
As much as it pains me to say it.
But who knows what a history would have been. I mean, Brady was still going to be the starter eventually, don't you think?
Yeah, like maybe in 06 or 07.
No.
And maybe not for Bill Belichick.
No, that was in the works.
I know that's the as Andy likes to
not
say,
true.
The popular narrative, but they're on the record, don't say that.
Might that have caused a divide between Belichick and Kraft? Yes.
I'm not sure Belichick would have been here.
Listen, we don't need...
Well, if Brady didn't win, he might not have.
We don't need
that's
to...
No, if right? Bledsoe didn't go down, Bledsoe stays the quarterback.
Oh.
They don't win.
Yeah.
They have back-to-back 4-12, 5-11 seasons. He might be out of work.
Let's take it to a different place that no one ever really takes this, and we don't have to devolve into what would have been with that. But what if Bledsoe didn't get hurt, and he played the whole year, and I'll be willing to submit there's a 0% chance they would have won the Super Bowl. But what if they went, like, I don't know, 9-7?
Yeah. Well...
Do you think he would have lost his job?
Well, here's the thing, though, Paul.
What if they got a wild card? I think there's a chance. What do you think?
What if they got a wild card?
I still think there's a chance.
Probably would stay, but I think there's a 0% chance that he would have gotten fired.
Yeah, I don't. I think
that Belichick would have gotten fired if they went 9-7.
Oh, I thought you were saying Brady would get the chance.
I thought Brady would get his chance to be a starter.
When?
Yeah, there's 0% chance Belichick would have been fired.
No, the next year.
Yeah, I don't.
No,
I don't.
I think there's less than 1%.
I do.
So in other words, he came in, he took over a terrible team, they completely stripped it down, they went 5-11, and the next year they went 9-7. And he would have lost his job?
Yes, because I think Belichick thought Brady was the better quarterback.
I think you're crazy.
I know.
Because they've never said that on the record.
No.
On the record, they say that we may never have made
that
choice.
But I also know that when...
And now you think that if he had gone 9-7 in year two, that he would have lost his job?
I think Belichick wanted Brady as the quarterback. And I know this is a fact that when Bledsoe was signed to that huge deal, that $103 million deal, Belichick wanted nothing to do with
it. He didn't want the contract.
Because he didn't think the guy was worth it.
He's not. He doesn't believe in those contracts.
I'm telling you, Paul, I think there would be a
movement. But it wasn't the player. It was the contract that he didn't like.
I think it was both. I think there was a movement by Belichick to get Brady as the starter.
I know that's what makes everybody feel better now, but I'm not convinced that would have happened.
And short of, you know.
Now, if they had gone 5-11 again, you know, maybe.
See, then I think there's a chance it doesn't happen because Bill's
out. I think Bill's out of a job.
And Bill wouldn't. The next guy doesn't have a history with Brady for 2-3 years. So I think it's just easier to stay with the established $100 million star.
I think Brady's version would have happened sooner than later.
I don't. I think the only chance is Paul's scenario. I think it was at least two or three years away. I think Paul's scenario, if they're a middling team going into the next year, Brady has another entire offseason to impress, do whatever. I think there's a chance at some point in that third year under Belichick, he'd get a chance.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, but wait a minute.
If Belichick got canned, there's – almost no chance it happens.
Oh,
because no coach is coming in with balls big enough.
I hear that.
Wait a minute. So now I agree with that.
Your thing, let me just make sure that I get it, because I think I might agree with what you just said there at the end. So let's go 5-11, 9-7. Now it's year three. So 2002.
And by the way, playoffs makes it harder. I think a non-playoff season.
Let's say non-playoffs.
Okay.
Let's say 9-7, non-playoffs. They had a chance, but they didn't quite. They weren't quite good enough. But now we're at 2002, and you're saying they're middling again. So like maybe they're 3-3.
Yeah.
Okay, I can live with that.
I think there's a chance.
Coming off 9-7, I think less than 1% chance that Bledsoe was not starting the next year.
I agree. I think Bledsoe would have started the year, but I think somewhere during that season, Brady could have ascended. but only under Belichick. Again,
right.
Not under a new coach.
That's true. Brian in Essex talked about the biggest play. He says, can't speak for anyone else, but I know I said holy bleep about 10 times over. Had to watch replays over and over to help my brain interpret exactly what my eyes just saw. Has there ever been a bigger momentum shift, a bigger impact on NFL history between the catch of insanity and Butler's pick? I mean, he misses that. Brady's 3-3. He makes it. Brady's 4-2. Unbelievable.
I mean, yeah. Everything,
in terms of shift in the shift, narrative,
it was,
oh, my God.
Seismic. You were talking about the earth moving and the Richter scale.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was literally a seismic
yeah.
shift.
In terms of a history change,
yeah.
how it's written, that – probably no bigger than that.
Nope. Especially, yeah. I mean, think of like Mike Felger. Like what he
right.
would have been saying had they lost.
Which is makes
and
it,
what he would have been saying had they won.
Which is silly when you think about it, but that's just the way it is, you know? That a team
it
can come
been.
That close, but if you don't make that play, you're bummed.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's the part of it that
well,
I get annoyed with.
Right.
Like, let's just say for argument's sake that they did score the touchdown. They lose 31-28. Part of the narrative is going to be the interceptions that Brady threw. And mm-hmm. that's ridiculous. Because facing a 10-point deficit in the fourth quarter against the best defense in football, even though that day they were far away from the best defense in football based on what they had on the field, that's unbelievable what he did. Unbelievable what Brady did. That doesn't change if the defense then goes down and lets
right.
up a touchdown.
Right.
But that would
does.
Have all changed.
Right.
Everybody would
right.
have said, again, Brady comes up. Brady's not quite what it takes. And I know that I've been critical of Brady in the playoffs, but I've not been critical of Brady in the playoffs in with performances like that,
yep.
when he goes down and leads 260-some-odd-yard drives in the fourth quarter. I was even defensive of Brady in the Super Bowl in Arizona when they only scored 14 points because in the fourth quarter, losing, he went 80 yards for a touchdown.
Right.
That's what great quarterbacks do,
yep.
and that's what Brady does. Eight game-winning drives in playoffs?
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
And, I mean, even 0-1 when Brady was still an infant, you know, it really, you know, he had the one touchdown pass to Patton, but it wasn't a great offensive game until the end when he showed the balls that made, you know, showed who he really was and fearlessly led them into field goal scoring range, you know.
But a lot of people had started saying he can only win being along for the ride.
Right.
He can't win.
Right.
Because they won the three when, you know. He had
great
he had
defenses.
A great he had a great game in Carolina, but right. he was not
it
great.
It wasn't
not great against the Rams.
When he started throwing right. up the big numbers. All right, let's get back to the phones. Chester's in Portland. What's up, Chester?
Hey, what's up, fellas? World champs, baby. How's
right.
it going?
Oh,
been dying to talk to you guys, man. Great show yesterday. Just still on cloud nine over here. Still nursing my hangover from the weekend and just being on hold with that argument, man. You guys just sent me right back to Sunday night again. But before I start, I just wanted to comment. You guys mocking me hardcore last week on buying apparel. I find it is no surprise that pro shop's selling out like hotcakes. So, Pats Nation, keep showing your support. Buy that apparel.
Chester, you know that we were only making fun of the word apparel, right? We weren't making fun of the fact that you were buying it.
I loved it.
Okay.
I loved that it continued on, but, yo, man, Pats Nation, let's keep funneling those dollars to the Pats. They've done a lot for us this year. Just what a special, special year. You know, to me, this is one of the most fulfilling, and I've been a Pats fan since I was 9 years old. I'm sitting here at 38 now, you know, being a Foxborough faithful in the 80s. This is just an absolutely incredibly rewarding game. And, you know, to me, the best thing about this, fellas, is we out-physicaled that Seattle team. I mean, we fought grit with grit. I knew this team had it in them, but Malcolm Butler showing up like that, getting the jump on that, it was clearly a byproduct of preparation, something that we got to continue to keep big stock in as long as Bill Belichick's running this football team. That was a prepared guy, a four-string corner coming through in the clutch. And, you know, just hearing Steve's call a minute ago, just brings it right back to what an absolute euphoric night it was. Pats Nation never, ever lost belief. And, you know, I've got to give it up to our boys, Christian, you know, and these guys, you know, PFW Elite. These guys never gave up hope. With that in mind, I just want to say Christian's call yesterday was phenomenal. And to me, what I took away from that is Pats Nation, this is much more than a team to us, man. This is a culture. This is a family thing. This is a lifelong kind of commitment that we've got, and that goes universally in Boston sports. But, you know, had to give it up to Christian on a just absolutely phenomenal phone call. Just basking in the glory. Pats Nation, world champs, baby. You guys, take it easy. Over and out.
All right. Thanks, Chester. You know what would be nice next year, or maybe we can start in the off season, after each phone call, they get an Olympic-like rating from us. So the right. four of us, like, you know, 5.0, right. 3.3, you know.
Like a digital voice or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah.
3.7.
And we
can by the way, how appropriate French. That Scott Zolak's on the float with the
Uncle
cheerleaders,
cheerleaders.
And the mascot.
Bob Sosie's there, but you can't see him. Mike from Copenhagen.
He was not sold on his own call, by the way. I saw him immediately post-game, and I said, so did you nail it? Did you call? I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and listen to it. I don't know.
Yeah. Mike the Dane from Copenhagen. I was attending a Super Bowl party with about 500 other NFL fans in Copenhagen. The U.S. ambassador was there as well, and he's a Patriots fan, actually knows Robert Kraft. Watching Seattle march down the field, my heart sank. And I was thinking, here we go again. And then a magic play against all odds happened. Words can't describe the sheer joy and true euphoria mixed with disbelief running through the crowd. It was simply the perfect ending to the game if you're a Patriots fan. Thank you for faithful coverage of my team. You are the best in the business. I am grateful and truly humbled to be part of Patriots Nation. There you go.
It is ridiculous. Like, you just think about it. The history changing of that moment and the way all of the Patriots Super Bowls play out. It's just, 4 points. This was a big one.
Jordan and Prince George wants to know, is it real? I watched the replay of Butler's interception. I feel like he's going to drop it or the NFL calls two teams back even now because of penalty. Is this real? It sure is. It happened.
It's real. Order your apparel.
We should mention today some news. Scott O'Brien retiring. Special teams coach.
But staying with the team.
Staying with the organization.
I still don't really know what that means.
He's going to write a column for PFW.
Oh, that'd be good.
But Joe Judge.
Elevated.
Yeah. Sorry, Eric. You're going to lose your blog entry. He gets like extra kicks or something because he's a special teams guy.
Oh.
Extra points. That's all those kicking game references. What would we need you for? We'd actually have a legitimate expert in the kicking game.
But if Sal Pal says something, he's got your
back.
Yeah.
Dead.
Right.
Dan's in Arizona on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Dan. Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great.
Doing all right.
Doing good. Well, guys, I'm going to make this quick. I was at the game, and it was amazing. I was working security, NFL security. I was behind the 20-yard line of the Patriots bench, and I watched everything.
aren't you supposed to watch the crowd and stuff?
Yeah.
It was euphoric. Like, I'm still on the high, and I'm going to be on that high until draft day. I mean, it's amazing. I did ball out in tears, and I was where Vince Wilfork's family. They saw me balling out in tears, and they're asking me if I was a Patriots fan, and I said yes. And a couple of people were like, give me dap. So I gave them dap, and it was just amazing. It was just amazing. I kept on saying that we didn't have to be good. We didn't have to be great. We had to be legendary, period. In all phases, we had to be legendary. From Brady doing what he needed to do, from Malcolm Butler from doing what he needed to do to upstart himself too. It was just amazing, very euphoric, and certainly a blessing all together. You know, I hear y'all guys all the time, man. I got much love for y'all guys. And, man, go Pats. Patriot Nation, stand up. Like I said last week, we went hunting for Seahawks. So, you know, we did our job. And let's get ready for next year.
All right, thanks, Dan. Great call. That's cool. Working security right on the field there, 20-yard line.
Basically, he's supposed to watch the crowd to the field.
Maybe his job was just not to let anybody buy him.
There was a great shot of when Kearse made the catch, you know, on the bobble.
Yeah.
And they had it super slow-mo, and he's on the ground. And you can see, like, there's, I think, photographers and, like, security people that are supposed to be looking this way. And there's a woman who's turned looking at the shot, and all of a sudden she realizes that he caught it. And this
goes,
look of utter astonishment on her face.
Yeah.
It's like,
right?
And I saw that. It was, you know, it was a great shot because it was so tight and it was slow motion and stuff. But she was probably supposed to be looking at the stands, too. And it seems like everybody else was looking the other way.
Yeah.
She was the only one. She was probably telling him, oh, my God,
oh my God, you
got to
see this.
Scotty from North Carolina wants to talk about the parade. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, bud. Hey. I just want to – I think you guys are doing a great job. I just wanted to say, you know, they never once mentioned the parade in Boston on any of the sports networks on TV. But for 2 weeks, they did nothing but wrap the Boston Patriots – the New England Patriots for the Deflategate and all this crap. And I think it's just – very unfair to the Patriots. I didn't even mention the parade in Boston today.
Who didn't mention it? It's like it's actually on NFL Network as we speak. Like, who didn't mention it?
I don't get NFL Network, you know.
Okay, but who did? But I'm at.
Oh, you mean your local?
You're
news?
In North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina. I can understand that. Go on ESPN.
I mean, if you go anywhere in Boston, you it's wall to wall parade.
Patriots.com. Yeah,
Patriots.
I mean,
Patriots.com has it on right now.
I'm watching it now on the internet.
Yeah, good for you.
From Patriots, you know.
I can't really get on North Carolina television for not.
And I'm
carrying the parade.
I'm guessing they'll have it on their 12 and 6 o'clock
news. ESPN and all the, you know, Fox and all those.
Yeah, I can't get on them for not having it either.
Well, ESPN's going in and out with it.
Right.
They're showing
it. But, I mean, they shouldn't be showing it live.
Well, like,
they're not.
They actually should, but that's all right.
Well, they don't do it for anybody else. I know they should do it for us.
It doesn't matter. They should be doing it for us.
And but I'm sorry, I'm not getting on national networks for not covering the New England Patriots.
It's not that bad. They hate us, Scotty. Though.
They do hate us, but that's not an example of it.
When the Super Bowl, it was on television for 2 weeks about how great they were and a great
New York bias.
Let's move on.
There's a New York bias. Absolutely, they should move the NFL. They should move all sports leagues out of New York.
There's no room for draft talk yet, or utter irrationality.
They should move all sports leagues to Kansas.
Fred, we're going
to
start our rankings right now. 0.0.
What's that? That?
We're starting to rank
the caller rating.
0.0.
That was a bad call. All right, definitely.
NFL Network. No national coverage.
Did you see this?
Well, it is the NFL. I mean, if they didn't have it, what are they doing? But you see, CBS is apparently going to buy a portion of the
They deny that.
Oh.
I heard that report that CBS was thinking about buying a portion of NFL Network. CBS has since come out and say that's totally wrong. But we've had people deny things before that there could have been a part of the statement that was wrong.
Right.
Yeah, Staples has taken over, was it Office Max or Office Depot?
They bought Office Depot for like $6 billion or something like that. But one thing I will say that I would believe it if that was true with the CBS NFL Network – I know I've talked to people from the league that it was always sort of in the back of their mind that they'd create this network and then sell it.
See,
Really? Yeah.
That would bother me if I were ESPN, Fox, NBC, the other partners.
Yeah.
Because now there are TV
contracts. Now you're in bed.
But if you're the owner of NFL Network, part owner, that's forever. That's until you sell, whatever. That wouldn't smell right to me.
That's very familial.
Yeah, that would not be right to me.
Let's go to Miguel in Oregon. Hey, Miguel.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Welcome aboard.
Hey, so you mean to tell me you guys are actually over there and not at the parade, and I'm over here in Oregon wishing I was over there to be in the parade?
Well,
we have to work.
If we weren't here, you couldn't talk to us.
Yeah, we have work to do.
I know. I'm just giving you guys a hard time.
Anyway, telling Fred, I think we need to improve our ability to do shows
remotely
and on the move or something. We got to work on that for different things.
Yeah,
for the combine,
know,
Super
right?
Bowls, parade.
We have Zach Lane working for us instead of Meatball.
Guys.
Maybe we could.
I'm okay with it.
I'm super excited about this. You guys have no idea. Like when Butler made that play, I was jumping so bad. Like I was screaming, and like people were like, "Calm down, dude. You're celebrating more than Tom Brady." And I'm like, "Dude, I know. It's not how bad I wanted this win." And, like, people don't understand. Like, for me, I started being a Patriots fan, like, a little after the Spygate thing. And so I grew up being a football fan, looking at Tom Brady and how good he was. But I've seen him fail 2 times in the Super Bowl, you know what I mean? So it was like my hero that won before I watched football, but I've watched them lose Super Bowls back to back. And to actually be on the TV Sunday and watch him win once was just as special as me as if it was the first one. And that's why I'm so excited and I'm so happy for him and I'm so happy for Patriots Nation that we got the sports Super Bowl.
All right. Thanks, Miguel. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for all Patriots fans. We needed this. We needed this for our psyche. And just think of all the poor kids that were born in 2005. Now they cannot. They might have grown up not having won a Super Bowl. And now we've stopped that. It's good.
7.5, Fred Kirsch's hot take.
Oh, that was good there. That was good. That was good.
Yeah, that was a good call.
No, I was talking about you.
Oh. John in North Carolina? South Carolina. I always get mixed up. I've been listening to you guys for about 9 years, and this is the first Patriot Championship I've been able to share with someone other than my wife, who's a Rams fan, or my daughter, a Panther fan. My son is 9, and unfortunately has chosen the right team, but he really doesn't understand how rare this is yet. The PFW show and the PFW Elite Group have taken the place of talking and celebrating not just the Patriots, but home New England in general. That is not to take anything away from the PFW paper. It is by far the best sports paper I have ever seen. And you are subscribing. And if you are subscribing, you should be. I had a good deal of hate down here from people leaving deflated football on my desk to notes on my car, which is properly adorned with Patriots apparel. Shout out to Nick. So I wanted to thank you guys. Yes, even Eric. I also wanted to thank the PFW Elite Group. Yes, sometimes they get too overexcited, and you never know when a set of bouncies might show up on the screen. But they have been a good support group through all the hate.
Andy's suddenly interested.
Yeah. I would like to extend an apology to Kat if I started a poop storm when I brought up Amendola. I was just making a joke, and I didn't mean for anyone's feelings to get hurt. I know we fans don't make a single play all year, and we fans really didn't accomplish anything, but this Super Bowl has given us so much. If nothing else, we never have to hear no rings since Spygate. Thanks for a great season, and go ahead and add me to the off-season lunch list. Speaking of which, is our English donkey breeder friend still alive? Yeah, he is, but he'll be back eventually. He's just got some things to take care of.
He was actually at the Super Bowl.
In the club at the Super Bowl.
Oh, was he?
Yep. Yeah. In the club. Michael Gerovati from PR got on the Gronk boat, I see. Some photos of Gronk chugging beers, too, as part of the parade.
Oh, really?
Yes.
12 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah. That's right.
Actually here.
It's actually, yeah.
Other sports, you see that. I mean, the Red Sox, their whole post-celebration was revolving around being inebriated.
Let's go to Tiff in Wisconsin. Hey, Tiff.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
So, I am so elated. Four things. Because of four rings.
Okay. Yep, I got you.
Yep, we got you.
Symbolism.
But the first, I never disagree with Paul because I respect his knowledge of football. But I thought that was a good play call. I really do. I just think it was executed poorly. And I think that.
Well, I definitely agree it was executed poorly. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, and I think Malcolm just made, that's the best pick I've seen in my life. And I've been watching football since I was 7 years old. I've never seen a play. I mean, I've never seen anyone with a pick that good. It was like Dion-esque.
It was read and react.
Amazing. Well, yep. I mean, guys have jumped. I mean, yeah, it was a great play. It was a great play by Butler, but I still maintain it was a horrific play call.
Okay. Secondly, I don't know if this is just me, but since Spygate, I felt like a Patriot fan, but also like a Brady, Belichick, Flack. Like, I'm always defending them. I'm always attacking Peyton. And not just, you know, I don't know if it's, I think it's a, you know, an inferiority we feel because we lost it the way we did and because of Spygate. And now that's gone. So, like, after the game, I tweeted, like, now what? I mean.
Okay. One for the thumb.
Get ready for what is all I can say to people that think it's over, because the people that hate them are not going to all of a sudden stop hating them.
Oh, no.
They're going to still think that they cheat.
Hate them more now.
But they're going to still think that they cheat.
The drive for five.
That Spygate stuff is not going to just go away now that they won. Right. This is what I was trying to say before the Super Bowl.
But they can't say you haven't won anything since.
No, but they're going to say that you have to cheat to win.
Sure.
That's what they say.
Sure.
Because they're irrational morons like Marshall Faulk.
Yep.
Yeah, but how did they cheat in the Super Bowl?
Who knows? You didn't know that they cheated in the first one until 5-6 years later. That's what they think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the third thing is, I think I forgot what I was going
to say. You sound like me.
Sound like Rick Perry.
I forgot what I was going. Oh, when that catch happened, I tweeted, why me? Like, everybody said, not again.
Right.
I tweeted, why me? Because, of course, it's about me. And, and then the last thing I wanted to tell Andy is that my son is has been trained for the past 3 years by this guy named Brad, who owns Next Level, and he trained J.J. Watt.
Oh, nice.
I don't know why I didn't tell you that before, but my son has been trained by J.J. Watt's trainer for 3 years.
Nice.
He's got a combine coming up this Sunday in Detroit.
Nice.
It's like one of those combines where you just
the regional combine.
Go. You have to. Yeah.
Now, how old is he yet?
He's 15.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, he's ranked already.
Nice.
So do you? I mean, Tiff, that would be awesome. But do you, as a parent, do you really think he's got a chance for the NFL?
Well, let's do college first.
No, but I'm just serious. I'm serious here. Do you think that he's got?
No, she doesn't, because it's college first.
He's 15.
But he has a chance at legitimate college, and the road goes through.
But I mean,
you guys, let me just say this: we last year we were invited to Wisconsin to do a combine for all the boys who were junior, like freshmen, getting ready to be sophomores, and I thought my son was amazing. I had never, because his father used to go to all of his games. I never went to any of his games because, I'm really critical. And I was like, wow, I never knew he was that good. So I asked the scout. I was like, how is Jeremy? He was like 71. And I said, yeah. He's like, oh, he's great. He didn't say great. He said, oh, he's very good. And they're looking at him. And I was like, really? He said, yeah. And I was like, I'm shocked. All of these kids here, he's like, yeah, they got that eye on four kids. And he named off three other numbers and Jeremy's number.
And nice. What does he play? What position?
Defensive end and defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
keep him at end. That's where the money is.
He's like really
and he can wear a knee brace
when he gets
on his elbow
the field.
Like JJ Watt.
He's like, he's immature mostly until he's on the field. It's like a different guy.
The reason I bring it up, the reason I ask the question is because I want you to make us a promise right now. That in the long odds that he gets to be a pro, you still need to be calling this show, no matter what team he's on, all right?
Yeah, what if he goes to the Jets?
Right.
And you hook us up when he's at the combine and Andy and I have to go and cover it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I still need to get a video because I told Andy that I would send him one.
Yes, I would like to see it.
As soon as I get that out on YouTube, I'll send it to you. But
awesome.
I just want to tell you guys that. We're kind of serious over here.
Nice. Right. How about living the football life? Her team won the Super Bowl. Her son's training with Watt.
I think. That call was a 2.2, right?
No,
it was way higher than that.
I'll give it a 5. Yeah, 5.
Oh, I got it higher than that.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks.
Great stuff.
You are downgraded for saying I forgot what I was going to say.
It was but she brought it right back in.
No, but it was a good call.
All about her. I like it.
A lot of people are like, I don't care about her kid. And I understand.
But I do.
It's a Patriots show. We care.
I do. She's part of the family.
It wasn't
training with JJ
Watt. So
I didn't want
to
ask
give it a 5.
I didn't want to ask her if she's on the real JJ Watt program, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, that's why I was asking about it. Wearing
drinking
an elbow
the same
brace.
Shakes. You know, right. JJ Watt drank. Let's go to Kate in Virginia. Hey, Kate.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up?
Hold on.
Oh, boy.
First, I'm just curious. Did you guys hear about the what ESPN was saying that like Revis was thinking about signing with the Jets or Bills again?
Well, those
he's not thinking about it. Right?
Pure speculation.
Rex Ryan and
his joy of the Jets.
Yeah, that's all it is.
But he was also crying on a Patriots sideline, so I think they have a chance too. And by the way, not a free agent,
right?
No. Not yet.
He's
still
under
a Patriot.
Contract. He's under contract. They could sign him this year and spend the money, and they could franchise him the next year if they wanted.
Right, they can keep him if they want. But that was just purely sort of, connecting dots type speculation. There is a long ways to go before, A, he leaves the Patriots, and B, he ends up on a division rival.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't you worry.
I think he's going to stay.
I think he's going to stay, too.
I think he's going to stay
also,
as well.
Fred thinks he's going to
stay. After watching the game, I realized I'm a spoiled New England fan.
Yes.
I've got 8 championships. I've got 4 Pats, 3 Red Sox, a Bruins, and a Celtics.
Yep. Yes, you are spoiled.
Yep. This is championship time. Thanks for the call.
In 80, I don't think that's right.
It's McCabe.
McCabe
is his name. He calls the post-game show, pre- and post-game show with Andy and I all the time.
But I do think
he's
it's
a regular
funny
with us.
Some of these, like, there's a chance New England goes through a drought at some point, an extended period of losing. Well, not losing. Not winning, I'll say. Mm-hmm. Not finishing the deal, and like you can see this generation of kids. I remember in my day we won this.
Now, I don't know how old McCabe is, but that's 9 titles, right? It's 4-3-1-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said
that was the big column.
See the homeschooled kid?
He didn't miss.
Everybody
didn't miss
was ranking them. Dan Shaughnessy, Johnson, they're all ranking the different titles of this
era. What do you think of that?
So to speak. What?
Ranking the titles?
Yeah.
I got no problem with it.
Yeah, why not?
Well,
I think we should. Let's rank the Patriots right now.
Go. I think the 2000. I think those three, the 2001, 3, and 4, those titles kind of kicked the other franchises in the butt in this town and said, we got to get going, too. I know the Red Sox felt that the Red Sox said, we got to get a championship here. And I remember telling Jonathan Kraft, I think in 03, we're talking about the Red Sox. I said, you know they're going to win soon. And he's like, oh, I know they will. Because, you know, we do compete with the other Boston franchises.
Correct.
We don't, off the field, we don't compete with the Jets. We actually cooperate with them. But when it comes to, you know,
apparel,
marketing and
the business,
all that
side
stuff,
of things.
We compete with the Bruins, Celtics, and Red Sox for the slice of the pie here in New England. And they realize that we can't be left behind.
But that always strikes me as odd because it's not a zero-sum game. It's like you have a child, and then you have another one. You don't love the first child any less because you have another child.
Most don't.
Well, no, but
yeah, if you're a good person,
if you're a fan and you have one of the four teams always winning, you're probably going to spend more of your money with them if the others don't. You know, it's just natural.
Oh, but depends how much you love the sport.
Yeah, but you'll have your rabid fan base for all the teams, but you won't get the casual fans as much if you don't win. You got to win.
No,
you have to win.
Well,
like,
obviously
I was critical of
win.
People that work for this organization that thought that the Super Bowls were because of them. There's nothing, or the success of the team was because of them.
No.
It's because of winning.
No, but I mean,
winning
like,
is
correct.
What it's all about.
But what I'm saying is that will hold true always. That, to me, is the number one priority. Your team winning. I don't think as much, and I know that I'm probably wrong because I don't have all the business acumen that you guys do, but I don't think it's as much important what the other three teams do. As long as you win,
right?
I don't care if the Red Sox win, too. I know some people around here don't like the fact that the other teams win because it hurts us. Bottom line wise, I don't look at it that way. As long as you are successful, you will have your dog.
Oh, that's true. That is true. But if you're not successful, it will hurt you.
Right.
You have to win.
But it's not going to hurt you any more or less if the other team is
winning. If you're not successful and the other teams aren't successful, it's still going to hurt you.
Right.
Because people will ignore all of you.
I know, but the bottom line is be successful.
Correct. Yes.
Paul might be right. It doesn't hurt you when they are too, but it doesn't hurt if you're the only successful.
Like the whole notion of the Red Sox needed a kick in the pants.
They did.
They were always in contention in that era, and then they finally got over the top. So they were fine. If they had had a year like last year in 2004, that would have hurt them.
Right. But if Dave Roberts doesn't steal the base and they don't win?
They're fine financially. They're always in contention.
Right.
They're winning. They're a successful organization. And they continued to be that, and then they finally got over the top, which made it even better for them. But if they were in disarray and were in last place like they were last year, then that would have hurt them.
Oh,
it had nothing to do with the Patriots. I don't think that one, what'd you call it?
A zero-sum game.
I heard.
I don't think one necessarily has a lot to do with the other.
I heard the Celtics and the Red Sox ownership saying, we need to be more like the Patriots.
Well, because I think the Patriots organization is set
right.
up in such
right.
a successful way.
Show them how
I think they
want
to they want to emulate that.
We showed the other teams how
But
to
I think
win.
They wanted to win just as much prior to that.
Right.
Well,
they
sure.
just didn't. They
may, of course. They didn't know how.
Right.
Previously, they may have emulated the San Antonio Spurs. And other successful organizations, that the fact that they had a successful organization right here made it a more
it's
apt
just, It's just
comparison.
Hard to tie a direct line from Patriots win, so Danny Ainge gets Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, so Celtics win just a little. Or, you know, Theo Epstein throws a couple things against the wall and happens to end up with David Ortiz out of the mix.
Trust me, in these boardrooms, the sense of urgency goes up when other teams win. You know you have to compete.
Sure,
you have
I just,
to compete.
I think in today's day and age in professional sports, the sense of urgency is there all
See,
the time.
See, if I'm John Henry, I'm much more concerned with the Yankees than I am with the Patriots.
On the field, absolutely.
Yeah,
off the field.
Well, but the Yankees fans are their fans, and the Red Sox fans are our fans. I'm not concerned about the Jets off the field. They can have their fans, you know? All right, let's take a break. Food's here. We'll be right back. We got calls. We got emails. We got celebrating to do right after this.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. The gang's all here. Paul, Eric, Andy, me, Zach's in the booth because Kevin's on the float.
Everyone who matters is here.
With the Lombardi Trophy, you know, waving.
He's the hairy gorilla, you'll see.
Right.
It's one of the realizations I came to in Phoenix. He is one hairy bastard.
A couple things. We got some emails about the Three Games to Glory DVD that is in the works. All the, obviously, video has been taken, all the behind-the-scenes stuff. So that'll be coming out, excuse me, probably in, I don't know, a month or two. But we're going to get up a thing on Patriots.com where you can pre-order it so you can get it right away. But that's going to be a good one.
I have a question about that, Fred.
Yeah.
I can't remember now. Does that include the actual telecast of the game?
Yeah. We've done that in the past where we've done the whole game. You know, it's a multi-DVD set. So,
right.
You know, there's like behind-the-scenes stuff, director's cut, all the playoff games. You know, it's all three games, every play, not just – you know, I know when NFL does theirs, I think they cut out the special teams.
Yeah.
And this is the whole thing, you know.
That ain't right.
Does it have the halftime show in it, too?
Well, we did in 2001. I don't know if you have to get the rights to that.
Wow.
So I'm not sure.
And this being the best ever,
we don't
want to.
We want to help sales. We don't want to hurt them.
Oh. This being the best ever, they might not give you the rights
best
to that.
Best ever.
I got to tell you, I watched most of the rebroadcast last night on NFL Network, and
yep.
They included the halftime show
yep.
in that. It was a lot better watching it the second time
oh, yeah?
around. Yeah. So I would say give it a second chance.
Okay.
It was great the first time. I don't know if it would be greater.
Another thing we got some emails about that last play, Malcolm Butler, and some people were saying, well, why didn't he just fall down in the end zone when he intercepted the ball and then they would have had the ball on the 20-yard line? I can understand what was going – I think I can understand what was going through his head. Like, he didn't know if he had already stepped out of the end zone, and then if you step back, it's a safety.
Well, plus, I mean –
yeah, because
everything
he did
we give him credit
right.
for,
so, yeah.
he shot himself like a cannon.
Right.
You can't stop that.
Right, right.
Like, had he been prepared, like thinking ahead, oh, I'm going to be able to stay in the end zone,
right.
then the guy probably would have caught the ball because he wouldn't have deflected off him. Like,
right.
Yeah, there's yeah. no question. I mean, it would have been ideal had that happened, but it wasn't really realistic.
Yeah. So, and even if he could have done it, I think, you know, there might have been like, geez, I don't know where exactly I was when I caught this ball, you know. So he did the safe thing. Just go forward, make sure that you're out of the end zone. You know. Let's go back to the phones. Jerry's in Miami. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. How are you? I said I'd talk to you after the Super Bowl. Now I'm here.
All right. Well, you lived up to your word.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Listen, talking about the play, when that play happened, I lift up my cousin. I was there watching the Super Bowl with him. I lift him up over my head. I don't know where I got the strength from. Another joke for you guys. Butler, Malcolm Butler, when after the game they were showing the stats, they showed Butler's name with Jamie Collins. They didn't even have a face for him on ESPN.
That's
so
right.
They put Jamie Collins' face instead of his face.
Yeah.
Really? Well, yeah. I mean, that's how down the radar he was. I mean, as Bill said, he was the few, the proud, the free when he was a tryout player, not even a rookie free agent. You know, those guys actually get money. When he arrived in New England, there was no money, no promise, no deal, no nothing. And now he's
all
winning
right.
you the Super Bowl.
That astonishes right, me, though, because you're supposed to have headshots of all the guys in the Super Bowl.
Well, I'm sure they had it. They just screwed it up.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with the fact that Butler was unknown. It had to do with someone made a mistake.
Yeah, but they probably had them all. Collins, does anybody have that Butler one?
Well, Collins and Butler might actually be right next to each other.
B, C.
B and C. All right. They could actually be
one more point before you let me go.
Yeah.
Yesterday you talked about Montana and Brady and all of that stuff. I heard Stephen A. kept saying Montana never lost a Super Bowl.
That's true.
But he played in the league for like 15 years, so he lost a lot of games. In 82, he missed the playoffs. 83, 85, he lost in one NFC Championship game. And in 85, 86, he only scored 3 points in a card game in division.
He had some one-and-dones. I think he had more one-and-dones than Brady did. But the point is, when he got to the Super Bowl, he won them all, never threw an interception in them. He's great. I mean, again, let's not get into this thing, if you like Brady, you don't like Montana, like we used to do with Bledsoe and Brady.
Well,
they're both great.
All of that stuff that he just said about Montana is true of Brady. Brady has lost in conference championships. He's lost in wild card games. He's had games where they haven't scored a lot of points and got knocked out in the playoffs.
But I think Jerry's saying that when these people that make the Montana argument make it as if he was perfect when, you know, he wasn't, you know.
I think it's ridiculous because I think Andy set it up perfectly yesterday. Somehow, if you lose before you get to the Super Bowl, it's okay. But if you lose in the Super Bowl, it's held against you.
Right.
That's flawed.
And it's the same argument I make against the people when they could say it, that you haven't won anything since Spygate. No, we won two AFC championships and went to two Super Bowls since Spygate.
Plus, even if you didn't go to the Super Bowl, you've won plenty of games. You're the most successful team in the regular season during all this time. So, in other words, the cheating only helps you in the regular season?
Right.
It doesn't help you in the postseason?
Well, you have more footage on AFC teams.
Okay. Maybe that's it. You'd think you'd be able to win in the playoffs all the time.
Cracks himself up. Nick from Packer Country. Wow, what a game. First Super Bowl since I became a fan, and it was crazy. I was resigned after the curse catch. I sat there and I thought, oh, God, not again. I was ready for another insane catch to set up a Super Bowl loss, another game where the offense put them ahead with 2 minutes to go, another huge letdown by the defense. Then Butler intercepted the ball. Good job, another down, I thought. He intercepted it? My fiancé says. The swing and emotion left me numb. Slowly, the happiness welled up inside me, and I freaked out. I had to wait a few days to get my champs apparel, but it should be on its way. Could not be happier right now. Time to re-sign Revis. Yep. It's like
the biggest order
of business. It's like the shampoo instructions. Rinse, repeat.
Yep.
Sign Revis.
Resign, repeat.
Yeah. Resign, repeat. I like it.
Hey, remind me of that. I want to get that in the paper somehow. Not this one. Probably the next one. Maybe we'll have an award or something. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. Resign, repeat.
Resign, repeat.
But they've already signed him, so it's kind of.
Well, you know he's not going to stay under that contract.
Extend the contract. Extend the championships.
Yeah. We're going to the repeat thing sounds a little
keep
bit
and content.
And the little explanation will say, technically he doesn't need to be re-signed, but we need to retain his services.
You need to put an emphasis on the
retain and repeat.
Re-sign, repeat.
Okay, Bill Belichick is on the ground. He is off the duck boat.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what he's doing.
Oh, my God.
He's following Linda through the crowd.
Christian has some issues with Eric. He says, hey, guys,
everyone
I have a
does.
Question for Squidward. Does he still think the Patriots Super Bowl window is closed? I always thought that was a pretty foolish statement by Eric when he said that, but maybe I just have a different idea of what it means for a Super Bowl window to be closed. For me, it means a team isn't a serious contender anymore, like if Manning retires for the Broncos, their window is closed and won't have a chance to win another Super Bowl. For Eric, does it just mean they won't win it again? If that's the case, you could have said the window closed after 04, which would make no sense, even if they never won again because they went on to play three more Super Bowls. The window's open again, right?
Well, clearly, if they just won one, then yeah,
but
the window's
still open.
It's still open.
It's not shut after this one.
The window, what I meant at the time was...
We know what you meant.
How many players in NFL history had won a Super Bowl as a quarterback in their mid to late 30s? John Elway was one, right?
Yeah, but you're talking about the greatest of the
great. I
believe
he was the fourth one to do it over the age of 37 or above.
Yeah, yeah. So my point was the chances of it happening again
were
growing slower and slower.
Tom effing Brady.
Yeah, but still, Fred. He's a human being.
I know, but there were three chances since 04 for it to happen again.
Yeah, but I said the window thing back in 08 after they lost the undefeated season. I didn't say it this year.
And then they went back in 11.
Yeah, I know, and people ripped me back then for it too.
Right.
So
you
guy
can just say you were wrong. I mean,
right?
I was.
You could say that.
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
Someday I'll have to say that.
Someday. Yeah.
You can bet he won't, though, Eric.
Do we thank our lunch buyer?
Oh, yeah, Pat Nagawam, we believe.
I need to thank him because I haven't had one of those chicken parm calzones in months, maybe years, and whew, celebrating a Super Bowl with one of them. That's the way to go, baby.
Marvin in Kernersville, North Carolina. Fred, I know it's hard to separate which of the emails to read over the air, but I hope this one gets through. We all know how Bill preaches play for 60 minutes, and Sunday it came true. In the 59th minute, we were beat by another fluke-ass play, but Butler didn't quit. He played just as he was coached and played for 60 minutes and snatched victory from the jaws of defeat and saved our season. How many other teams would have just given up at the 59th minute?
No.
Not Bill's team. They never quit, not all year. Thanks to Butler, Patriot Nation can know heat-burning coal. Oh, can throw, I think. Heat-burning coals on the heads of our enemies. Bill Polian, Troy Vincent, Marshall Faulk, and all the other haters out there. Great job all year by all of you, Fred, Eric, Andy, Paul, and Kevin. Now we're on to the offseason. Let's re-sign Revis and win back-to-back.
Yep. Re-sign Revis, repeat.
Right.
No teams would have given up, just so you know. No teams would have given up. You're leading in the Super Bowl. You're not going to give up. I like how Bill has said he felt the team didn't give up at halftime in Kansas City. He felt like that told him something about the team he had. And I also like that he acknowledged that some teams do give up. He was careful as he started to say it, as he chose his words, yeah. You know, less competitive, whatever. But he acknowledged that team did not give up, and he felt like that was a good sign moving forward into the final three months.
And I thought that was a little odd for that particular game, but we don't need to get into that. Where I thought it was impressive that the Patriots didn't give up had nothing to do with the last drive, because as Andy says, who gives up four with 30 seconds left in the game?
It's kind of like Bill says, I'd rather be up four than down four.
Now's the time to pack it in. Where I thought that there are probably some examples of teams that have given up is, you know, after what, the third three and out in a row in the fourth quarter down 10 is when you might see a team give up.
Right.
And they didn't. They got a three and out to get the ball back. And then we all know what happened. Brady came through in the clutch.
James is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, James.
Oh, guys, what a game.
Hey, is this James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world?
It is indeed.
How are you, my man?
I'm terrible now. I think the one experience that's given me post-traumatic stress is the only place I can talk about it. It was an incredible game. It was such a gut-wrenching experience going through the extreme.
But what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That fine line between pleasure and pain.
It was weird, Dave, because I've been to plenty of playoff games and things like that, but being in a game where you're mixed amongst the opposition and it's not like a block of you, the energy that goes from like one set of fans to the other.
Because, right.
You know, half of the area is jumping up and half of the area has got their hands in their faces. And it was an amazing experience, but it was a roller coaster ride.
Wow. Where were you sitting?
So I was in the club section, and so there's about a 50-50 split in the club section, and then we backed onto the boxes. But the boxes we had were the majority of Patriots people that were in there. So it was a pretty sort of Patriots pro section. But it was such, you know, from letting that lead go at half time, it was such a negative thought. And then we came back, and I was up in my seat, I totally lost all rationality. The guy who I went with, he didn't sit with me for half the time because I thought he was a jinx.
Were you with Sir Paul McCartney, or were you?
No, I was not. No. I was not. I was with my business partner. He's my new one. He's a huge Arizona Cardinals fan. So he was there, but he was very. He said basically from the first quarter on, I became an a-hole, but he just didn't want to be.
Tell him it happened long before that.
Oh, yeah, probably, but he doesn't know me that well, so then let on.
He doesn't know you that well, and he said you were an a-hole?
I only spent about 20 minutes in my seat. The other half, I was up by where the exit was by the usher, because we seemed to do way better stood there. And then the usher made me sit back down on my seat, and he started losing, so I get back there. I lost total grip of reality. But that last sequence of play, where he... Well, why does he even call that circus catch? I just couldn't believe it. I watched the next play on the Jumbotron because I just didn't want to see the inevitable of them scoring. And then when he threw the pass and he intercepted it, the bad thing about being there is you've got no television replay. So you have no idea. So everybody's scanning the field. I couldn't see a flag. But then the Jumbotron was just on the ref, and it seemed like 10 minutes before he said that the interception was good. It was probably only 5 seconds, but he seemed to be walking around, speaking to other people, and that was the longest moment of my life.
Yep.
But it was amazing. It was.
They did look at it real upstairs, and then he made the announcement.
Yeah,
it was
all
probably,
turnovers are looked at.
All turnovers are automatic, but it was very quick. He, as Andy said, he didn't even have to go. Bill Vinovich didn't even have to go to the hood.
I'm surprised he didn't check the balls, though.
It was 2.5 hours. It was funny because I sort of...
And then they wonder why everybody hates us. It's
slapping
away.
I was driving back with a guy, and he kept on asking who Troy Brown was, because all I could scream was, Troy Brown lived! That it was some sort of reincarnation of that sort of individual. And, you know, I had great delusions of Malcolm Butler being amazing and doing this thing for the rest of his career.
Yeah. Well, yeah, James, it's good to hear from you.
Sonny's car wash next
year. It was amazing. It was a crazy experience.
All right.
I say. But I think one thing I'll say, 4 out of 6 just sounds so much better than 3 out of 6.
That's true.
Yeah. That's true.
It's more than one victory better. It just sounds way better.
Right. It is one of those differences. One victory seems like a lot.
That's why, and thanks for the call, James. Keep in touch. That's why that play, from a historical standpoint, might have been the biggest shift of history.
Yeah. Like if it's 9-1 instead of 8-2, I mean that's better obviously.
Right.
One game better, but 4-2 and 3-3 seems like much bigger than just one game.
Yeah. Right.
Can you imagine if they had never won the first 3? What that would have been like though? If all you had were the 2 losses to the Giants and the catches by the Giants and this was the 3rd one and that catch happened. Can you imagine the agony and the
Well, it would be Red Sox.
Well, that's what I was thinking about.
You'd be the Red
Sox. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a lot different when you have 3 in the bank.
Because the Patriots were never the Red Sox. They were just losers.
Right.
Right.
You know, every once in a while they got there. And they lost in devastating fashion in 76, and we all know that. Then, you know, self-destruction in 78. They got blitzed out of their minds in 85. It wasn't an endless succession of teams that were good enough to win titles that just for whatever reason fell short, like the Red Sox. So when you got to that level, you won.
Right. And and with the Patriots, you never had that one team in your division that always won,
right,
and you didn't, like the Yankees and the Red Sox.
You are that team.
Right. John in L.A., one of the things I kept trying not to say out loud for fear of jinxing it before the game is something I can say now. I cannot wait for the 3 Games to Glory video and whatever other season DVDs come out, besides the fact that this will feature the best – set of 3 games, narrowly eclipsing Super Bowl 36. I'm hoping and assuming we will get to hear whatever Belichick said to the team the night before the Super Bowl. With all the BS distractions the team had to fight through, with all the unsubstantiated garbage they had to hear from what seemed like every corner of the world during the run-up to the game, I wouldn't be stunned if Belichick was especially fiery in motivating his team to come out and put the naysayers in their place. Although, it is maybe more like him to have ignored the noise and focused on the less flashy do-your-job angle.
No chance he ignored the noise.
Yeah.
My guess is he delivered, without being overly worked up, some sort of, you know, play Trent Dilfer. They can't win their week anymore. It's all right, guys. I mean, this guy says you can't. You guys shouldn't even be here. You can't win. You know what I mean? Like he delivered
the purposely
that,
understated
but in
thing.
An under. You know, it's kind of like, you know, in case you're interested, the parade starts at Philadelphia City
right,
Hall.
Right.
You know, it goes left onto. Yeah. And you might want to take the day off if you guys are looking forward to.
And
attending.
Then just walks out of the room.
Right. And does the same thing with some of the stuff over the course. You know, Fred Kirsch might have been on there for
the Dilfer stuff.
Trade Brady. Put in Garoppolo. Yeah.
You know the Dilfer stuff.
No, I think
was
it
big.
Was trade Brady, fire Belichick.
Oh, okay. Well, that might have been in there. You know, okay, this is how they feel about us, okay? All right?
But you
I hope they didn't use me because that wasn't fair. That was out of context. I was making fun of all the people saying that.
The irony there, because that's absolutely what he was doing. But I know that they did the Dilfer stuff just by all the post-game references
right.
to it.
I mean,
Julian Edelman went on for 20 minutes.
Right. But Bill didn't do it with, like, yelling and screaming. He
no,
did it
he didn't
in
do
his
it as
way.
Passionately as Edelman did.
Right, right.
You know how he did
in his understated way. All right, okay. Can't
but
win
you
anymore.
Always know
and
what
this is the guy who says, if you lose, you can't win.
If you listen closely after a big win, you can sort of figure out what the message was before the game from Bill.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because it'll get parroted back to you
yep.
by the players
no
after
question.
The game when it's deemed, quote-unquote, okay to talk.
Yeah, right.
Patrick G. in Houston, Texas. I just want to say you guys do a great job for Patriots fans from other states. Information is spot on and not devalued by homerisms. I watched the Super Bowl in Dallas and couldn't believe how many Sea Chicken fans were in the bars. They were the type that yell and clap regardless of the play, if the play was positive or negative for them. I had my authentic Edelman throwback jersey on, so it really confused them who I was cheering for. Needless to say, after the second pick, we left because the Chicken fans began taunting and getting vulgar. We went to a different bar and watched the ending, and after getting my heart shocked back to life after the Butler pick, we queued We Are Champions on the jukebox. Anyway, I believe I bought you guys lunch today, so enjoy. I enjoy listening to the replays when I patrol at night. Also, Patrick G.
Oh, sorry. I just assumed what I was told. Yeah, Patrick, okay. My bad. Yeah. Pat Nagawam, we thank you because you're a
great
consistent lunch buyer.
But screw you today.
Patrick G.
From Houston.
From Houston.
All
thank
the way
you very
from Houston.
Much.
Thank you very much, Patrick. Much appreciated with all the rest of the organization out at the parade. It's, you know, archery practice upstairs.
Yeah. Everybody else is partying. We're hard at work. Yep. It's usually the way it is.
Archery practice, by the way, means that you could actually take archery practice and not have any worries or concerns about hitting anybody because there's no one here.
That's a no-socks
except
expression.
For us. That's a no-socks. No.
And when it's really empty, it's cannonball team.
Cannonball team is up there.
Adam is in Dublin. Hey, Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Still drunk?
I have such a pep in my step, a smile on my face. This week has just been, it's just been brilliant. It's just been, it's just felt so good. The game over here ended about 3 a.m. I couldn't sleep till 5 or 6. I was emotionally drained. It was the biggest mixture of joy and relief. And it just, I mean, I watched the last two Super Bowls that we lost. I watched them at parties, and I'd watched the first three on my own, and I watched on Sunday night on my own. And I now figure for every big game, I got to watch on my own because that's when we win. I was due to have some buddies come and watch it with me. They were delayed on a flight, so I had all the snacks and beers. So I think I ate my weight in pistachios. But at one stage, I got my hands in the bowl of the empty shells, and I'm like crunching them.
Were they the red ones? So you get the red all over your
fingers.
With the
tension, and but it's funny, you know, talking to all the guys on the PFW Elite page, and everybody talking about their little traditions and what they do for games. Like I've been wearing my Brewski jersey all season for every single game, and on Sunday I was wearing the Gronk white jersey. And just before kickoff, I said, no, let's not mess with what's working. I put the Brewski jersey back on, and I tell you this, and this is absolutely true. Every single time I stood up, four times I stood up with the nerves and the tension, and every single time the Patriots scored. So that will be, I will pick my moments carefully next season to stand up when we're near the red zone, but it just, I mean, like, it's just unbelievable. I've been following this team for 15, 20 years, and, you know, getting to talk to the guys on the Elite page and hearing the likes of Christian's story about his dad yesterday, I mean, I thought that was brilliant because, I mean, a lot of us, we've all got so many great sporting memories with our dads, and for him to get a memory like that now to attach to his dad's birthday is brilliant. And I got to tell you as well, Chester, that guy is just, he is just nuts.
He gave
a pre-match pep rally video that he put up on the Elites page, and then at halftime he put up his little, you know, his guys, we're going to win this, all the rest, and then he put something up at full-time. It's just been a brilliant experience. This season, and also, you know, I've been listening to the show for about 3 years now. You know, you are part of daily life for me and so many other people, and you know, when you don't have a lot of people to go talk to, you know, talk about the Patriots and work or talk to your friends about and stuff like that, you know, you guys are a brilliant crucial link, and Facebook and social media, you know, it's just brilliant. So just hats off to you guys, and just I'm just so happy with Lombardi number 4.
Alright, thanks Adam.
We're always here to talk.
Chester, you know, he brings up Chester. One of the things I love about Chester, like, you had that big party in San Diego and everyone's wearing. Chester comes with, like, the blazer and the red V-neck sweater underneath. Like, it's like it's like a party, but, like, he's dressed up. You know what I mean? It's funny.
He's like Robert always goes with the blue shirt with the white collar.
Yeah.
And it kind of flies in the face of the wacko who yells on the radio.
Right.
To show up dressed
but he's still there yelling.
Right.
But he's dressed up. Right. It's just part of it.
I did want to say they just aired the interception on the goal line three or four more times on NFL Network. And I will say, if there's one criticism of the receiver Lockett, it's the hands. And he tries to catch it with in a basket-like catch.
He tried to wait for it to come
rather
through.
Than getting the triangle right. out front and, right. you know, Mike Williams-ing it, Rob Gronkowski-ing yeah. it, Calvin Johnson.
That's what the receivers were giving him a little
that
bit of
that. That is the one thing that you can argue. It's not a – it's well, see, I don't even know if it's a fight. It's a technique.
Go
thing.
Get it.
But
go
it's
get
not
the
a
ball.
Fight. It's a technique. It's well, how you catch the football.
Right. I look
are you
at that
a,
as
are you a triangle hands-out catcher?
Yes.
Because to me, fight for the football is speed, desire. This was just a pure technique yeah. thing.
I also
when you catch
think...
the slant, catch it out in front with your hands and not trying to catch it in the basket.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the one thing I think you can criticize
yeah.
him for.
Yeah.
It's a technique thing. So you know what? You know who I might blame for that? Now, I don't know.
Coaching.
But if he catches it like that in practice three times and he catches it and it's a touchdown, that's not okay.
Right.
Because there might be a guy there.
Right.
And if Bevel lets him get away with that in practice, then it's a coaching thing.
Right.
I don't know either way. I mean, I haven't broken down their practices when they run that slant. But that's a coaching thing to get your hands out in front because that
right.
gives you an extra half second in front of the defender.
Sure.
And, Paul, I know you were going to jump in and say something, but I just wanted, before I forget, I think you're right, Fred, about why Butler runs out of the end zone with
right.
it. Because I think he initially looked down when he saw himself. He was on green when he caught
it was right on the
and
goal
then bounces
line. Yeah.
into the end
right.
zone. And he probably thought, I need to get
and
out
even,
of here.
Even Hightower kind of pushed
kinda
him out
him
just
out of
to
it.
Be safe.
Right. Because
well,
he yeah. didn't take possession, though. He was in the end zone when he took possession.
Right.
The initial contact may have just been out, but then he kind of double catches it over back here, and he's in the end zone.
Can
he would have been fine.
Can you imagine if he was deemed a safety? Like, he was deemed to have come out of the end zone and gone back in on
right.
his own. And now it's a safety.
Right, and then they
and
just
then
need a field goal.
You have to kick to them, and all they need is a field goal. They have 20 seconds and a timeout. Yikes.
I'd be on the floor.
Yikes.
Somebody get Fred. He died.
Cody writes in, and he says, I just realized something. When everyone was loading up with the useless facts about how Bill has lost 8 games in the playoffs against teams they've played in the regular season, beating the Sea Chickens just made him undefeated in playoff games against teams we haven't played.
It's amazing
in the regular
to me that
season.
Someone could have heard the stat about his losing to teams the
right.
second time and not heard the stat that he's undefeated against teams that
right.
he's played the first.
Thought you'd enjoy another useless fact. Thanks, as always, and you guys are the best at what you do. One for the thumb in 2015-2016.
Drive for 5. 1 for the thumb. 5 and 15.
I thought it was pretty interesting, too, that ooh. Russell Wilson was
what?
Previously 10-0 in his career versus
yeah.
quarterbacks who won the
quarterbacks.
Super Bowl. That's pretty impressive.
His coach just prevented him from being another white.
Well, that's the other thing.
Although, I do think that Russell Wilson's not getting enough static for this. I have to be fair.
But think about the change for him. You know, we talk about the Belichick-Brady history. He would have done something no one's ever done, 2 Super Bowls in their first 3 years. He's now got 2 Super Bowl rings at the age of whatever he is, 25, 26. I mean, his career path
right.
is altered by that.
Sure.
You know, the contract, you know, if you're not that it's going to change whether he gets a contract, but it's certainly easier to sign him to that $125 million deal coming off his second Super Bowl than after if there's any Seahawks fans who are bitching and moaning about the pick.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to – I mean, I understand your point, but I don't think
I will say this.
No, I just said that. They won't
no,
affect the
I said,
deal.
I
It'll affect
you.
The reception because you can't tell me there aren't some Seahawks fans who are pissed at the throw. If so, then they don't
oh, yeah.
have good fans.
Well, I will say this.
Because it wasn't a great throw. It wasn't something that was not his fault at all.
I think
1,000%.
Patriots fans would have reacted if it was the other way.
Oh, God.
Like if Brady threw that pick on
I
that
think there would have been a portion.
They would have killed him.
Yeah, I think there would have been a large portion that would have killed him. The people that you've been pandering to
right.
for decades
your
now about playoff Brady
yeah.
and this and that.
98.5.
Yeah, the Felgerites and the Perillo-ites.
I think the biggest hue cry would have been, why no pass interference? It was contact.
Well, listen, but going back to.
He really hates Patriots.
Going back to.
I think they
does.
Would have whined
he
about
does.
The contact.
He
some
hates
might
those.
Have.
Some might have. But going back to
Wilson,
a day or so after the game, there was a report that, despite the loss and all this, Wilson still plans to go to the Texas Rangers training camp. And I said, that's it. They're done. They're not going to compete for Super Bowl next year. And I believe that. The fact that
– And you think you were right?
I still think I'm right.
You think you were right? They didn't compete for Super Bowl?
No, next year.
Yeah, he just did that last year.
Yeah, and but he's going to do it again.
Okay, so twice means that you can't do it.
Right.
I get it.
He's going to do it again. And
in the interest of the show, I will now be quiet.
If I was a Seattle Seahawks fan, I would not like that report. I would want him being thinking about how do I win it next year instead of going to play baseball.
The only thing he needs to think about is handing the ball off to Marshawn.
They're done.
Well, they may be done, but they're not done because they're going to play.
It could be because of that.
With the Rangers.
That's a little piece of why they're not going to do it.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Yep.
You think Lynch is going to stay?
Yeah, why not? I think there was a report the week before the season that they had already extended him a rather large offer, Lynch.
Yeah, I know Schneider was publicly backing him. He was saying how much he loved his press conferences and the things he was doing that.
For what he does for that team, it's worth putting up with his nonsense, right?
Oh, if he leaves, by the way, I think they're done.
Then they're, yeah, well, that.
Because
yeah.
Russell Wilson and those receivers is not working.
Yeah, there's no other back in the league, right? I mean, there are good backs, but, man, he's that team.
No question.
He's what.
As valuable a player as there is in the National
What the Legion of Boom does for their defense, he does for their offense. You know, Russell Wilson isn't as good as.
Oh God!
Without
no. Marshawn, no, I mean, if you were going to list the irreplaceable players, he's one of them.
Yeah,
for that team. So I would be looking to
but
hold
on. But the day after the Super Bowl,
as far as a player,
Russell Wilson
I don't remember
be thinking
being this
about
dominant in Buffalo
and not baseball. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't agree.
I'm sorry.
Now I think you could argue if you're a Seahawks fan and you're a nervous Nelly type. Yes, I don't want him doing physical activities.
Oh,
that
that's
could
a whole
in any
different
way,
argument. But
other than that,
yeah, I'm not worried about the injury thing. I'm worried about the mindset.
Well, just rest
and
relax.
That's idiotic.
Well, baseball, that's like resting.
So you can't get hurt in baseball?
Oh, you can get hurt, but it's in terms of resting and relaxation.
But that's what I'm talking about.
That's what baseball's all about.
You know, you take one swing and you tear a back muscle or something.
Exactly.
That I'm not worried about. He's an athlete.
Yes, because you have these weird brain.
But you are worried about him doing exactly what he did last offseason, being self-destructive.
Last year they won. This year they lost.
Right.
And he should be thinking about how they're going to win again.
And
how they're going to get back on top.
They lost by a yard.
You know, how they're going to
get
back on top.
Like, they didn't
get
knocked out in the first round of the wild card round. They lost by a yard
in
the Super Bowl.
I'm telling you, Paul, mark my words.
So should Tom Brady have rededicated himself?
Once again, you'll mock me now, and then later you'll be like, well, he was right.
I'll still mock you.
No,
he was right.
Because
so that's
much
the way
like,
it always works.
Much like
it doesn't.
But we don't learn.
Much like Mike Felger reality.
Stubborn.
Much like Mike Felger reality, your two things will have nothing to do with each other if Seattle doesn't win the Super Bowl.
You may
it
think
will
that.
Not be because Russell Wilson that. Went to Texas Rangers spring training.
I know at Everett and BU, you could have a loose mindset, but in the pros, you have to be focused.
But using your logic, Pete Carroll should never leave his office this offseason. He has to stay in his office the entire offseason.
If baseball is as
on football,
if baseball is as irrelevant as you deem it is, then why is he not focused on football playing in
spring
training?
I don't know. You have to ask him that question.
No. I'm asking you that question. Baseball requires nothing but rest and relaxation, which you just said.
That was a joke.
But that's what you think of baseball. That's not a joke.
Paul, that's a joke.
Is that a joke? That's what you think of baseball?
Obviously, baseball players are athletes, Paul, and they have to work hard.
That's not what we argued about.
Well, okay,
you think baseball's a walk in the park.
Eric, you want to go somewhere?
for what he's doing at spring training, yes. I think it requires no focus or lack of attention to what he's doing.
I know if you went to a football training camp, it wouldn't be like that.
But that's not what he's doing. He's not going to He's not going to spring training to try to make the
Texas
Rangers.
I'm sorry.
You're wrong.
He's not.
Just say it.
If he
just did that, and they came a yard away from winning the title. And now you're telling me it's going to be no chance next year.
I don't
see any ridiculousness in that.
I'm sorry if he's thinking.
I apologize for saying that. I wasn't going to say anything and then saying something.
If he's thinking about the Texas Rangers the day
I'm
after
out.
The Super Bowl, then I have a problem with that. If I was a Seattle Seahawks fan. I would have a problem with that.
I wouldn't like it either if my quarterback was out doing,
it's
that
you can
kind of
like
stuff,
it or not like it all you want.
But I don't know.
But
if
you
that
have
has
to say it has nothing to do with what happens next year.
Most likely,
because
nothing
it has
he
nothing
thinks about
to do
today
with
is
unless he makes the Texas Rangers. And then,
unless, as Andy said, he tears a muscle and can't play next year because he swung a bat wrong. Then you have every right to say that affected the next year's plans. If he doesn't get hurt, 0.00% chance of having any impact in the future.
It's just like when Andy would criticize Tom Brady because he didn't get the parking spot.
And you would yell at Andy for that. Right. But now it's another guy, another team, so it's the be-all.
But I'd rather have Tom Brady here. I understand that his life was different and he had kids, but I'd rather have him here. And as a Seattle Seahawk fan, I'd rather have Russell Wilson thinking about football instead of baseball. Sorry.
But now,
the way it is.
Well, but now, would you rather have Brady here, or would you rather have him doing what he thinks is best for him?
Actually, he started coming here. He stopped that not participating in the offseason.
And we started winning Super Bowls again.
And he
coincidence? I think not.
Well, maybe you're right. And he got his spot back.
Maybe you're right, he says.
You know?
Talk about just changing whatever happens to be going on at that time.
Hey, I look at what the facts are, and maybe I adjust. Conditions on the ground change.
So, again, even though that you just about a half hour ago vehemently yelled at the Spygate conspirators by saying, what do you mean they haven't won anything since Spygate? They've been to two Super Bowls. Well, they went to two Super Bowls when he was not doing those
things.
That's
true. They had won stuff.
So don't tell me that had anything to do with it.
They had
won. Be consistent.
They had won stuff since Spygate. They had.
Exactly.
Right.
So you can't now say that they didn't win anything because Brady was in Costa Rica.
I didn't say that.
You said I'd rather have him here. Why? It has no impact.
Well, wouldn't you rather have full team participation in off-season workouts?
Are you all wathered up?
For the actual OTAs?
Yes.
And Russell Wilson will be there. So what's the big deal?
I'd rather not have him playing baseball.
Okay. You can rather have him do anything you want. I'm not telling you what you should want him to do. I'm telling you it has no impact on the 2015 season.
You don't know that.
I do. Because I just saw it happen.
That's right. You're Paul.
I just saw it happen.
No, you're Paul. Right, right.
Oh, he can change based on the facts. Right. But I can't use the facts to have my opinion. I'm using facts to formulate my opinion.
I forgot you're Paul.
No, you know what I forgot?
You can know, but
you know
I can't.
What I forgot, Fred? Right. I forgot my sarcasm meter. Right. And I just saw that happen.
Paul.
And they go a yard away from winning the Super Bowl.
There's a swear coming.
I can use the facts to formulate an opinion, but I'm not allowed to do that.
And I can't use sarcasm.
No. So, in other words, when you realize how ridiculously asinine what you said was. Then we can change it to, I'm sorry, Fred said it. So, it will be so. All right, you're right. Fred said it. So, it's so.
I hit a nerve because Paul doesn't like
instead of continuing, asinine statement that I made, now I'm just going to make fun of Paul.
It's a time
because
for celebration.
That's what we do. Let's just completely cloud up the issue and we'll just make fun of Paul and then we'll just laugh about it. All right. I forgot because Paul said so. All right.
Well,
I didn't realize it that you already know what's going to happen next year because you're Fred. All right.
Just like you do.
Yeah. No, I know. You're right. I don't know why I doubted
you. Paul, we can disagree.
I don't know why I doubted you. we'll do another one. We won't worry about the fact that he already did this once.
We don't have to
and they
disagree.
Went to the Super Bowl. We'll forget that and we'll just go, Paul, you can say anything you want.
Well,
we can disagree.
Well, why tempt fate?
We can disagree.
Because he got away with it once? Does it mean that it's okay to do it forever?
How about he didn't get away with anything, Fred? He didn't miss anything that the Seahawks needed him to do.
He didn't
blow off the offseason.
Listen, if one of my players, you know, a key player like Tom Brady or, you know, wanted to do another sport in the offseason, I'd have a problem with that. I'm sorry.
But how much money I would give for Tom Brady to say, I'm going to Montreal Expos training camp because they drafted me. I'm going to go to the Washington Nationals
because I'm not Paul.
Montreal Expos, and I'm going to take part in spring training because I would love to hear you rip Tom Brady. I would love it.
I would. I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't like that.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
God.
I'm the only one on this show who would rip him. I'm consistent.
Right. But I wouldn't like it. If I was a Seattle Seahawks fan,
I wouldn't rip
like
him.
It.
And if he missed like all of the offseason, if he missed all the OTAs and minicamp.
No one misses OTAs for that stuff.
That would be different. But that's what I'm talking about.
But I didn't like it when he was missing the workouts. When he was the leader of the
whole,
easy to do your work when you see 12s already there. When
but
you
there
get
are
there.
No workouts,
you did say that.
And then
12
stop
no
being
workouts
there for a while.
You did say that.
But there are no workouts in February.
Well, there are. They're just not,
they're not
led by coaches.
Right.
There's people here working out.
But he wouldn't be part of that.
Why?
Who?
Brady.
I don't know that one way or the other.
He's with Alex Guerrero.
Right.
And he can be with Alex Guerrero at spring training if he wanted to.
Doing baseball stuff, not football stuff.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't have a problem with it, and I don't have a problem with Russell Wilson doing it either.
Okay.
Unless he misses.
I don't either.
Unless he
but
misses
I do,
something.
And I'm an ass.
But no, you're not an ass.
You said it's asinine.
No, it was an asinine statement to say they can't win next year if he does it. That's the asinine statement.
Well, I mean,
not that you have a problem with it. This is what you do. You don't listen. The fact that you don't like
deaf asinine person.
The fact that you don't like the fact that Russell Wilson doesn't.
It's a hot sports take. That's all.
Here we go.
You get paid by a radio station that makes their living out of hot sports takes. It's okay when they do it.
Friend, when I.
But I'm an ass.
No, you're an ass for thinking that it prevents you from being able to win the Super Bowl the next year.
We can agree.
That's why you're
disagree.
An ass.
It's okay.
You can disagree on what you said because that's what you always do in an argument.
And I will say that's
you
my
always
hot
change
take.
What you said.
That's my hot
sports
take.
Yeah, it's so hot that you don't even know what it was.
It's like when I said Peyton Manning is going to fall off a cliff. That was a hot sports take.
Fred,
why did you call
said,
me an ass then?
I did.
I think he did.
And he went out and threw 40 touchdown passes again to prove you wrong. So. Again,
I don't
asinine.
Know. Thousands of Twitter people think I was right. It's all a matter of
thousands.
Twitter. These
thousands.
Are his people. It's all a matter of perception, I guess.
Exactly, because when oh I could God. Throw for 40 touchdown passes and have fallen off a cliff, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But anyway, I never had a problem with you thinking that that wasn't the right thing to do. I had a problem with you saying they can't win next year if he does this.
That's a hot sports take, yes.
Okay, that's what you said.
It's a hot sports, and I yes, it's
that's
what
I called asinine. Not the fact that you think there's a problem.
Paul,
you have a problem
Paul,
with
why
it.
Do you take it so goddamn seriously?
Oh, no. Oh.
No, but
now,
really,
after, why? After I get ripped
are
for 10
you,
minutes
you,
for not agreeing with him.
Are you a secret Russell Wilson fan? Why do you care
I
so much?
I actually don't like Russell Wilson a lot.
But why
and
do
I think
you care
that he is getting nothing but skating for that interception.
But why do you care so much?
I only disagreed with the fact that they couldn't win the Super Bowl. I didn't care that much.
Why so?
It was when you started making fun of me that I got.
But why so vehemently do you have to like care so much that I said that?
Why can't you just accept the fact that you said something dumb?
It's obviously an over the top statement.
Eric said that the window was closed. They've been to three Super Bowls since.
Relax. It's an over-the-top statement.
You see how condescending he is?
Nobody knows if it's going to happen.
Do you hear the condescension in his voice?
I obviously can't know for sure that
now I can have a hot sports take, but then I can say, why are you taking it seriously?
Right. Why are you so upset?
Okay, the Patriots are going to go undefeated next year. Isn't that a great hot sports take? Why would you take it seriously? Why are we having a conversation about anything if we're not taking it serious?
So no one can.
We're talking about the team. We're talking about the league.
But
why would you not take it serious?
Why do you get so upset?
Why do you have to make fun of anybody that doesn't agree with you?
I started making
you
fun
got
of
all sarcastic, Paul. Oh, because Paul.
Well,
said
eventually,
because
you're like red and there's veins popping out,
right.
And that's
because
why.
Because I dared to disagree with your point, which just happened.
Disagree?
This past year.
Oh my God! I think you want
to
be
apologize.
Arrested.
From now on, I'll make sure that I check with you to see if you're serious before I question anything you say.
I smell sarcasm.
Next time.
I smell sarcasm.
You,
Paul,
you know
you're using your sarcastic
There's
meter now.
There's nothing wrong with your nose because you're
Why
smelling
you
very accurately
oh,
right now.
Right. You're being
sarcastic. Exactly. So next time, I will check to see if you're joking or not, and then I'll wait. And then I'll say, okay.
Look, I'm not.
I understand that Fred's probably not being serious with that, and I'll let it go.
Well, listen, they're not going to repeat. Or they're not going to get back. They're not going to. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right
the
now.
Seahawks.
I don't know what they're going to do next year.
And,
I just know
Paul,
that it won't have anything
to
do with Russell Wilson.
Obviously, it's just my opinion. It's all it is. It's, you know, it's not an indictment on Everett or Northeastern or anything you hold holy.
It's really
unbelievable. It's just something that I said, an opinion. That's all it
is. And next time I'll check to see if you're serious.
You know,
I get it. I apologize. I thought you were serious. My bad.
I was serious.
My bad. Well, you just said you weren't. You just asked me why I was taking it so serious. You just said that.
Well, I'm saying, why did you get so upset?
Because I didn't like the way you said it. That's all.
Oh, okay.
I don't like what you just did there either. I mean, what am I going to do? I don't mock everybody when they say stuff.
What?
I don't mock everybody when they say stuff like that.
You mock them when you don't agree.
I might disagree with you,
and
but I didn't
them.
Mock you for it until you started making fun of me.
Okay. All right.
I apologize. I didn't realize you were only joking. Next time I'll
know. I wasn't joking, so you can mock me. I wasn't joking.
I'm not going to mock you.
Okay.
I know that you're only kidding half the time.
I wasn't kidding.
Well, I'll tell you had an awful lot of jokes, an awful lot of laughs at my expense.
I couldn't believe
someone
your
who
reaction.
Wasn't joking.
You know, it was just unbelievable.
I had no reaction until you started making fun of me.
Roll the tape. It's a
for
time for celebration.
I disagree with you, and then I didn't realize
it's a time
that
for,
you were joking all along.
It's a time for celebration.
So I do apologize to everybody for not understanding that you were joking. I could have saved everybody 20 minutes.
It's a time for
my
celebration.
My bad again.
I apologize to everyone because neither of you swore, and I thought it was building up to that.
I did.
I got a goddamn an asinine.
Well, you called him an ass.
I wanted an F you or something.
No, that's your thing.
Jordan and Prince and George. No, hey, Jordan, sorry about that.
Maybe even more.
What's up?
Hello.
Hello, Jordan.
Hey.
I think he just hung up on himself.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. Sam's in San Diego. Hey, Sam.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
What's up, Sam?
Hey, first of all, I just want to say thank you guys so much for this entire season. You guys are the only media outlet that I actually listened to after a loss. So thank you, guys.
I just want to, real quick, make sure people understand. We do this all year. I don't want people leaving after today or tomorrow.
Nope. Don't go
we
anywhere.
We are here year-round. We will start in the coming weeks with combine talk, draft talk, free agency, off-season.
Don't nobody go nowhere.
No, OTAs.
Our best time is the off-season. Stick around.
I will be here.
Okay.
And, Fred, thank you for taking me up the ledge all these times. You've been great.
It's my pleasure. And, that's what I'm here for.
You should be thanking Chester because Fred wavered a little bit in his ledge duties.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I knew something good was going to happen when Sunday morning my wife told me we're going into labor. So my daughter was born on Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, awesome. Congrats.
Congratulations.
Oh. Did you name her Malcolm?
Well, my wife told me the Patriots won, we could name her Michaela Brady, but I didn't want that. But, yeah, I just want to say thank you, guys, and go Pat, and appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam.
All right. Congrats again.
Let's go to
that's Rob Ninkovich's birthday as well, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, it is.
Eldridge is on the line. People were calling for you to call in, Eldridge. What's up?
Hey, fellas. Man, y'all sound like me Sunday and yesterday and matter of fact, defending my Patriots after we won the title. I mean, y'all two went at it like I went with everybody else. They call them cheap.
I'm going to need a translator. I hear you, Eldridge.
but man, you know what? I'm glad that this win, the Super Bowl. And I'm like everybody else. When I saw that catch, I'm like, damn, Tyree. And that's the first thing I said, Tyree. But I'm glad Malcolm stepped up. But the problem I have right now is, like I said, love the team, love everything. I just hate that people hate, no matter what. You know what I mean? Including NFL Fox on NFL. I don't know if y'all went to y'all Facebook page, but they got Madden 15 showing what happened if the Blitz had ran in from the 1 yard line against the Patriots. Oh, someone said, come on, give me a break.
What?
I mean, you can't think no lower than that. Give me a break. That's just funny. But like I told you, know, when I type back in, winners will always win regardless. And they also say they got 10 teams that will knock us out next year. I'm like, shoot, they couldn't get past this year, let alone next year.
Nope. I'm going to San Francisco next year, baby. Super Bowl 50, the easiest one I'll ever type.
I'm going that one, too. That's all I had to say, man. But enjoy the win, everything. Y'all been great, and I listen to all of you anyway.
All right.
See you, Eldridge.
Thanks, Eldridge.
Right. Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, that was... What did he say?
I don't know.
I don't know. No idea.
But he said it with passion and humor.
Something
and
about
excitement.
Lynch on the 1 yard line. If he,
I think
Fox
something,
did something.
I think they used Madden for a simulation, and Lynch ran it in. But Madden should be sticking by that they predicted the game. That's what they should be sticking.
Did they get it right?
Oh yeah, everything about the game right.
Really?
28-24 Patriots win.
You're kidding?
While trailing 24-14.
Yeah, wow. Played out as is.
And I believe it was Julian Edelman. With the winning touchdown catch, right?
So, and I guess Brady's numbers were very similar in the game and in real life. They nailed it.
How often are they that accurate?
Never.
Not that accurate.
That will be their me predicting Tampa to win the Super Bowl. They will live off this for like decades. Yeah. You know, the Madden Bowl, which we once correctly predicted, Patriots over Seahawks.
And now I get to reclaim I get to take the title away from you because I correctly predicted Patriots over Seahawks in
That's true.
I give you too much credit for predicting everything.
What do you mean?
The window was closed, but yet he predicted the Patriots to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. The window was closed.
He was right, no matter what happened.
They went to four straight AFC title games.
But I have to say, though, that Eric had a hell of a year.
He did.
This year.
He won the picks contest going away.
Got the Super Bowl right.
If only he'd had sex.
If only. It would have been the best year ever.
Imagine that if you had celebrated the postgame party and got laid by like some
and then got arrested.
And then had like, you know, the girl put my picture on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's out there.
Yeah. I don't know whether it is or isn't, but we certainly don't need to break it.
Chuck's on the line. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Super Bowl champ.
That's right.
Yeah, not world champs, though.
I cried twice during that game. One on that bobble catch. I started tearing up. And on that interception, I cried. The
fails to, I cried twice, completely opposite reason.
Right.
Sadness and joy.
I just wanted to say my superstition, it worked this year. All last season and seasons before, I'd be wearing my Patriots gear. All season long during the Patriots game, I did not wear one thing that said Patriots on it. And we won.
Oh, that's not good for the apparel industry.
I know. But I want to celebrate with you guys. Love listening. So talk to you guys later.
See ya. Okay. All right. Thanks, Chuck.
My dad... superstition worked, too, you know.
What was yours?
I don't know, but it works.
Oh. My dad was my mom and dad were watching back home, and my dad had – he realized in the late – like in the second half when they were trailing that he had his Super Bowl 46 sweatshirt on that I had gotten him. And he realized that, and he's like, wait a minute, they lost that game.
Yeah.
Takes the sweatshirt off, goes into the bedroom, gets out the three championship hats from the other Super Bowls, and starts alternating them on these drives.
Rubbing them on.
Yeah, and, hey, it worked.
That's you know what's something funny you just said earlier, I think before you fought with Paul for 20 minutes?
Yeah.
You said, in the days after this, like, to me, this feels like the first day after the Super Bowl. Everything else felt like
that's because
like
we haven't slept
weird.
And we're still...
Yeah, like, yeah. Today feels like
it's the first day we've been able to catch our breath.
Right,
yeah,
the rest of the world has been, like, recovering
for a
couple
days.
It's kind
of nice having the rest of the organization
it
out
is.
Of the building.
Yes.
You know, it's like when the mother has the kids out, she finally gets to sit down.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it just feels
absolutely.
Weird.
Absolutely.
We've got our run of the place.
It is a strange...
What are we going to do this afternoon, guys?
Have an orgy.
They'll be back. What? I'll be back.
They have orgies all
I
the time.
I think it's over by now, right? The show on repeat.
I think they got off the boats at the end, and I think they'll probably
are on their
way
back. Did they go in the water or no? Is it all frozen?
Oh, no. They've never done that. Tragedy.
The Red Sox did it.
They did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because the Patriots have never done that.
Red Sox went all over.
But I think it's probably Fred's. It's the weather.
Charles is frozen?
Yeah.
Got to get one of those breakers.
Right.
Lead the way.
Paul's in Cali. Hey, Paul.
They could just drive over the ice, you know.
Yes, hello. First of all, I want to thank you guys for all the entertainment and information over the years. And it was literally the only show I could listen to the second week of building up to the Super Bowl because of all the nonsense going on. I figured you guys keep a good balance and we'd get some facts along with, not a biased opinion. And I'm still on a high from this, and I have to say that I just wish the Guinness World Book of Records was in our living room when Butler intercepted that pass. I swear to God, my wife and I would have set a record for vertical leap.
Oh.
Senior citizens. I mean, it was like we were shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
Instantaneous. And I guess it was probably the build-up and, of course, the play right before that.
Yep.
And I'm just hoping that things get down and we can concentrate on the just savor the victory. That play by Butler, I'd say 1 in 5 maybe to break it up and probably 1 in 100 to intercept it. And I think that's going to be lost with all this fashion of Pete Carroll and everything else. But that was just incredible for him to hang on to that and end it right there, basically.
Great read and react. Just perfect play.
And I do think history is
good. I mean, seriously, I wish some experts and you guys would probably know what are the odds of intercepting that.
And how ironic is it that, all year we've been like Revis.
Yeah.
And then the play that wins the game is by a cornerback, but it's a guy, an unknown guy, Malcolm Butler.
Right.
That's so crazy.
It's not like it was even Browner.
Right.
Because it was Revis Browner for a while.
Right.
It's not like it was it wasn't Revis, it was Browner. It was
If you said in the beginning, they'll win the Super Bowl on a cornerback play, well of course Browner and Revis. You got two guys, one of them's gonna make a play, and it's not even either of them.
But I do think history's gonna remember the Carroll mistake more than the Butler play.
Browner did figure into
Can he not
play.
Hear me? Because I'm just talking and he's just talking.
Well, he's the caller, so be quiet.
He wasn't talking when I started.
Go ahead, Paul.
Because I'm on this show. I actually get to talk. I know you and Paul can take over the show for 25 minutes with what I will declare is an asinine argument, but now I'm not allowed to voice my opinion.
Before I comment on that, are you being serious?
I am being serious.
I'm not taking
dead serious.
Go ahead, Paul. What were you saying about Browner?
Darn high, huh?
What were you saying about Browner?
And the only thing
he's talking, Fred. He's the caller. He gets to talk, so stop talking.
Anyways, the only thing I'm expecting now is an investigation into the fact that the Patriots deflated the Seattle fans. And I'm looking, Belichick and Brady and a person of strong interest will be Malcolm Butler or some nonsense coming out of this. But thanks again for all the entertainment. I'm out here on the West Coast, and I miss Boston watching the parade and everything else. But you know, things were we had to move back out here, and your show is really valuable because to me it's the I don't want a homer. I want objective, and you have a good balance.
All right.
If you could get Andy on some decaf, I think that would be perfect.
All right. Thanks, Paul. One more call before we wrap up today's show. We'll be back tomorrow at noon. Jordan's on the line. Hey, Jordan.
Woo!
Yeah.
I'm still pumped about this. I don't know if I was on earlier. I might have screwed up there, but I have a decent one here. How about rinse, restructure, Revis, repeat?
Restructure, repeat. Revis, okay. Repeat.
All right. Yeah. That works.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I want to tell you a real quick story. I know you guys you're off here soon. The last 5 years before the Super Bowl, and I was kind of going through a little bit of depression. Not really good. Wasn't a relationship I wasn't, you know, into too much. It was terrible. And every single year come Super Bowl time, you know, AFC Championship game, I said, you know what? This might bring me out of it. You know, this might just really bring me out of it. Didn't matter if I had a good job, a good house. Didn't give it, you know what? And then this year, you know, new girlfriend, fantastic child, unbelievable. I'm having the time of my life watching the Patriots play, so good. Listening to you guys, awesome. Now, they win the bloody Super Bowl, and I'm sitting there just beforehand saying, you know what? I still need this. And they win. I think I hit my head on the ceiling 6 or 7 times. I might have a major concussion the way I was jumping around. But, I mean, this team, it's funny how it goes right into your heart and deep, and these, you know, it's the most unbelievable feeling having this one. You know, my three best friends are Packer, Seahawk, and Giants fans.
Wow.
So you can imagine how much pain and suffering I've had to go through over the last few Super Bowls. But this erases everything.
It sure
I'm
does.
I'm so happy right yep. now.
All right, Jordan, we're happy for you. And that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be back tomorrow at noon. And following us tomorrow, John Rook's going to do his last show of the season. So Patriots playbook tomorrow at 2 o'clock after us. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.